mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We've got the, 4 or 5 million albums sold. Hip-hop, spoken word, rap icon Paris joining us coming up in about an hour and a half from now. In about 20 minutes in studio, we're going to have Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's down here with me for an interview for my new film about the economic collapse and Barack Obama being a puppet frontman and what we're going to see come from him and his betrayal of his supporters that we've already seen. He's also going to be discussing in studio, though, particularly what his whole analysis on the Mumbai, formerly Bombay, attacks in the financial center of India and the clear false flag evidence therein. So that is coming up in about 20 minutes with Webster Griffin Tarpley. And then we have Jeffrey Smith, the expert on GMO foods and crops, and just the genocide against humanity and the planet Earth that is going on, dealing with that later in the last hour of the show today. So the artist Paris joining us from San Francisco, in studio Webster Tarpley and Jeffrey Smith, coming up on GMO, the melamine in the milk, all of it, the deadly toxins in the plastics. We, of course, have been talking about this for decades, but scientists said don't use that type of plastic back in the 50s because it would sterilize not just mammals, but amphibians, reptiles, and that's exactly why they put it in the plastic. And now it's finally breaking major news, so we'll talk about it, because what's old to us is new to the public. Public doesn't believe anything until the mainstream media finally has to admit it. So we'll be discussing that coming up today, trying to get people to consciously become aware of what's happening. And myself included, even though I know all this stuff, I still slip up a lot and drink fluoridated water or eat and drink out of that type of plastic that's widely used. I still eat some GMO food to my detriment, and I'm really trying to focus myself and others on not using cell phones as much, not having them around my children. That's radiating your brain. Massive studies on that, giving you brain tumors and a lot more. So we'll be discussing that. I'm going to blitz through the news in the next segment. The Rocky Mountain News is on the verge of going bankrupt if they're not sold, they're saying. 30-plus major papers, including the Austin American States, from where I live, around for 150-something years, it's on the verge of, being sold and in financial trouble. And this is a perfect storm of the mainstream media being discredited, the Internet, most people getting their news from the web and not the horse and buggy pulp papers, the wood pulp papers. And it's also that the economy itself is imploding, and so there's less ad revenue at a time when newspapers, most of them, were already hanging on by their fingernails on the cliff over the abyss of bankruptcy and extinction like the great dinosaurs. You know, I'm not really happy about the newspapers going bankrupt and being sold and being downsized everywhere, because as bad as they are with corporate propaganda, you still get some local news out of them. And some of the multinational conglomerates are actually hailing all of this and cheerleading the fact, praising the fact this is happening, for further consolidation and vertical integration. So you've got about, six families own over 90% of the newspapers in this country. Four conglomerates own over 90% of the TV, cable, and film production. And you're only going to see a greater consolidation of that as well as the government comes in worldwide, governments worldwide, in unison to restrict the First Amendment on the web. So don't hail the death of the newspapers, because the death of the net, the free web, is also ongoing. It's already begun. The websites are PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com, Infowars.net, JonesReport.com, TruthNews.us. We'll be right back with a news blitz, and then Webster Griffin Tarpley in studio.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Paris joining us, coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Webster Tarpley in studio coming up in the next segment about the Mubai situation, Obama, and a lot more. The Supreme Court is privately having a hearing amongst themselves today to decide on whether they are going to go forward with a court case dealing with Barack H. Obama. Was he really born in Kenya or Hawaii, as his mother claims? Why won't they release the original copy instead of a receipt of live birth? So we're going to be watching that as it develops as well. In the news today, again, as I mentioned, will Supreme Court take on Obama's citizenship? The U.S. Supreme Court will consider today whether to take up a lawsuit challenging President-elect Barack Obama's U.S. citizenship on continuation of a New Jersey case embraced by some opponents of Obama's election. The meeting of justices will coincide with a vigil by the filer supporters in Washington on the steps of the nation's highest court. The suit originally sought to stay the election and was filed on behalf of Leo Donfrio against New Jersey Secretary of State Nina Michael Wells. Legal experts say the appeal has little chance of succeeding despite appearing on the court's schedule. Legal records show it is only the tip of the iceberg of nationwide efforts seeking to derail Obama's election over accusations that he is neither was born in the U.S. citizen or that he later renounced his citizenship in Indonesia. I personally think this is going nowhere. The establishment is fully behind Obama, both the Democratic and Republican parties, but we will certainly see what happens there. Gulf Oil CEO says gas could hit $1 a gallon by next year. Gulf Oil CEO Joe Petrosky said on Wednesday that the price of oil could sink to $20 per barrel, and there is a chance gasoline prices could drop as low as $1 per gallon by early next year. Speaking at the South Shore Chamber of Commerce breakfast, the Brockton native said that after speculators drove oil prices up, there's a chance that the market will overshoot on the way back down, resulting in much lower prices at the pump. Only about 30% of oil price increases up to $150 a barrel 5 months ago, 6 months ago, was speculation. The rest was dollar devaluation. There has been a global currency devaluation in the last 6 months, not just the dollar being devalued, but all major currencies were devalued. The IMF and World Bank honchoed that. And so you've had all currencies dropping. That's why it's appeared that the dollar has stayed its free fall. In reality, again, they are all dropping. Milwaukee neighborhoods could print their own money, the Chicago Tribune reports. Two neighborhoods consider printing own currency for exclusive use in local stores. And it goes into the fact that the barter system is now being looked at. Residents from Milwaukee neighborhoods on River West and East Side are scheduling to meet to discuss printing their own money. The idea is that the local cash could be used in neighborhood stores and businesses, thus encouraging local spending. The result, supporters hope, would be a bustling local economy, even as the rest of the nation deals with recession. I think that's beautiful, and the feds can't stop that. If neighborhoods and then towns and then cities and then regions and states begin doing this, this was very popular in Europe, still popular in some areas of Europe, very popular in this nation's founding and before its founding, and has been basically extincted by the foreign banking cartel, the money changers. Really important news, Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament. This is out of Reuters today. It's up on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. We have a link to it if you want to find it. And buried in the article is the key. Every time I get up on air and say that Australia, Canada, Scotland, and 20-plus other Commonwealth nations are owned and run by the Queen, Canadians, Australians send me emails and laugh at me or go on the message board at prisonplanet.com and say I'm a liar. Because they don't even know how their own form of government works. Your parliaments are ceremonial. And any time the witch wants to suspend the parliament, she can do that. And I've studied the British government. Now, in 1215, that for a while, there was, of course, some liberty by the middle class and a balancing towards freedom. And in the last 400 years, there were some periods where the parliament in England did have the power. Those were times when they seized the king and chopped his head off. That happened several times, or imprisoned the king or queen. But in the last 200 years, the monarchy has been in full control. And the queen owns most of the oil, most of the timber, most of the gold, most of the diamonds, and the natural resources. And of course, this is all done illegally through fraud. But they love to advertise that they have no power, that they're a bunch of boobies, a bunch of maroons who can't get anything done and have to have their noses wiped for them. But if you read this article, the parliament was moving to remove Stephen Harper, the Canadian prime minister, and the queen stepped in because she likes what he's doing and has frozen the parliament. And if you read the legalese, it has been dissolved. Now, she may reconfigure the parliament. And I would challenge Canadians that aren't aware of how their government works. Everyone serves at the Queen's pleasure. If the ceremonial parliament does what she wants, then she stands down. No, she's not just on your money. There's not just crowns on all your highway signs. When you're over in England, no matter where you're at in England, routinely in every major town, they will just shut down large parts of the city roads and tell you that it is the Queen's pleasure. If she wants to boat up and down the Thames, she will shut it down and make thousands of international ships and billions of dollars free, sometimes for weeks. She does what she wants, when she wants. Last time I was in England, they shut down large parts of the city. And they would announce on the loudspeakers and on the tour buses that Her Majesty has chosen to shut down part of the city today. That is part of an exercise of power. You know, the Queen doesn't want billboards up nationwide in England, so there are no billboards outside the cities. It's all about an exercise of power. But this is not advertised. It's not put out in the media very often, but on the ground floor, they let everybody know. The entire British Parliament is spied on by the illegitimate MI5, MI6 that serves under the direction of Her Majesty. And that's why the Queen, through the executive powers that are, again, totally illegitimate, Hitler had total power, but it was illegitimate, has been ordering government ministers arrested under terrorism charges for exposing government corruption. So we're seeing tyranny, not just in England, but in the United States and worldwide. Here in the United States, the president, the executive, acts as a king now. And you're hearing them say the governors are now federal officers serving at the pleasure of the president. They can put troops, tens of thousands, on the streets. They are going to do it. But here is Reuters for those that are ignorant. Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of parliament. Suspension of parliament. And she can expel it as well. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper won a rare suspension of parliament on Thursday, managing to avoid being ousted by opposition party anger over the minority conservative government's economic plans in an attempt to cut off party financing. Governor General Michelle Jean, Governor General, now that, see, we're under a Governor General under NORTHCOM that serves at the discretion of the executive. Same thing. That's, and I keep telling Canadians and others, it's your governor generals. You're in a commonwealth. Just like we have the 1776 war here that started in 1775 when the governor general came in and started removing governors, appointing puppet governors, removing legislatures, putting in puppet legislatures, removing judges and magistrates, putting in puppets. This is how imperial rule works. Face where you live, face what you're under, and then you can take your countries back. But as long as you continue to live in denial, We can't change anything. Reuters. Governor General Michelle Jean, Representative Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state. See? Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state. It isn't Harper. Agreed to Harper's request to shut down Parliament until January 26th. Parliament was reconvened just weeks ago after the October 14th election. Harper's request for suspension was unprecedented. No prime minister had asked for Parliament to be suspended to avoid a confidence vote in the House of Commons. But see, that power is always there. If the little puppets don't do what they're told, if the ceremonial legislatures and parliaments and Congress, what happened 7 weeks ago? Congress did a no vote on giving the bankers unlimited total power to steal all the money they want with no review. That was in there. We read the bill. And so the banker representative of the Private Bank of England via the Federal Reserve, the local governorship, the governor general of the banking elite, Bernanke, went in there with his puppet, Paulson, and said, and Senator Inhofe's on record now, and said, martial law will be declared and we'll just do it without you if you don't do this. And they said, okay, under PDD 51. Now, again, you're not hearing about this in the news. This is why we're under martial law. We're already under martial law. The government is illegitimate. But they want to fool people with, oh, we got a brown face up there. This puppet, he'll fix it. It's a bait and switch. It's a new paint job on the same New World Order machine. What a betrayal. But so many delusional Obamanoids, Obama zombies, Obama minions. I've been talking to them. They'll walk up to me in restaurants, you know, a waiter or somebody, and say, what do you think of Obama? And I go, well, he's another puppet. Same agenda. And he goes, oh, come on, Alex. I used to love you. Come on. Be positive. I'm like, hey, man, I deal in reality. So the Queen of England has openly shown everyone that she runs Canada. Okay? Got it. There it is. Reuters. They're right back with Webster Griffin Tarpley. Stay with me. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, December 5th, 2008. For the next 50, no more than an hour, we're going to have Webster Tarpley in studio with us, and we're going to be talking about what really happened with the Mumbai attacks, all the evidence of false flag there with Western intelligence trying to get the two nations fighting with each other. We're going to talk about Barack H. Obama. And what his presidency is really going to mean to this nation. Also, with the Supreme Court meeting today to consider further hearings checking his U.S. citizenship and demanding his original birth certificate. We'll talk about that as well, Webster Tarpley in studio. But he was listening out in the green room during the break when I was covering Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and we just went live at prisonplanet.tv, so I'll recap that for the viewers out there. Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and it says Governor General Michelle Jean, the representative of the Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state, agreed to Harper's request to shut down Parliament until January 26. Parliament was reconvened just weeks ago after October 14th election. Now, he lost control of the government, became the minority party, but was refusing to allow elections within Parliament to have a new prime minister seated. That's how parliamentary systems work. Our country was much more similar to this until 1913 with the 17th Amendment, when states' legislators stopped appointing senators. That was their trump with states' rights over total federalism. But this is Imperium here, because she is the head of state, and Canadians and Australians and others in the 20-plus Commonwealth nations always say, oh, well, that's just figurative. That's just ceremonial, her as the head of state. No. If you read the charters of these Commonwealths, it is the parliaments that are ceremonial, and it is the Queen's governorship, or through her governors, that is actually the power. So there it is in Reuters, and every time I mention these reports, people just don't believe me. And Webster Tarpley's written books on the British Imperium, written many articles on it and its form of government. So in the time we have left in this limited segment, Webster, I would love to, well, first off, welcome you to the studio, but then also give you a chance. You bet. Give you a chance to break down the article.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here. And congratulations to you for everything that you're doing. This is the first I've heard of this. There was supposed to be a vote of no confidence against Harper by the Parliament. Now, remember, under the Canadian and indeed British Commonwealth system, the Queen is the head of state of all of these places, and it's about 70 countries. It's a huge group. And in the case of Canada and Australia, we have these royal governors general. And the royal governor general is the guy who's just done this, this guy, Governor General Michel Jean. So he's the personal representative of the Queen. And you can see that he has more power than the Parliament and the Prime Minister, meaning that we had this agitation in Canada in the 1960s and 70s saying that the Constitution had to be repatriated, right? They wanted to bring the Constitution home to Canada, and it turns out that was not done. I would say for people who have trouble with this concept, there are two examples. You can see that the Queen actually runs the show. One is in the Canadian NAFTA debate, in other words, to get the North American Free Trade Agreement passed, the Queen named new senators to the Canadian Senate to stack it, right, to pack it, to make sure that there was a
majority.
That's right.
They're supposedly going to be elected, but as soon as they didn't go the way she wanted, she came in.
She packed it.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other one is maybe even more spectacular. In Australia, Gough Whitlam, about 1975, was the Prime Minister of Australia, and he said, look, there's an oil crisis. I'm going to make direct deals with Arab oil producers, oil for technology. Australia will produce technology for them. We'll get our oil guaranteed. And London and New York said no. And at that point, the Governor General of Australia intervened to overthrow Whitlam and impose Malcolm Fraser. And it was a complicated thing because the Australian Parliament immediately voted no confidence in the new puppet, Fraser, and tried to get Whitlam back. And there was a period of about 6 months of tremendous chaos.
Who won that fight?
The Queen.
Again.
Because, see, what the Queen represents, the Queen is not, she's not somebody like Stalin, but she doesn't have all power. But she represents the oligarchy as a whole. In other words, she's the spokesperson. She's the doge, if you like, or the dogaressa.
But she does have Stalin-esque. She just doesn't want to use the power because then that reveals that these parliaments are really ceremonial, but there's still danger within the ceremonial parliaments because they truly have been voted in, so they hold the true, organic, rightful power and then could rally the people with their bully pulpit to throw out the oligarchy.
Right, and the question of rallying the people is the absolutely critical thing because if you don't rally the people, then the oligarchs are going to run wild, and we see that they're running wild. It also shows, though, that the entire Anglo-American world is now descending into a form of chaos, emergency rule,
because they're having to now take the veil off, the velvet glove off the iron fist, and really show people the true machinery. Just like here in the U.S., they're announcing, yes, we're going to use regular army against the people. Yes, the governors are now puppets of the president. Yes, you're living under martial law. They're throwing the gauntlet down. Webster Tarper, let's finish up with this riveting information when we get back, and then get into a lot more. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More straight ahead. Now, England and 20-plus other Commonwealth nations are truly governed by the Queen as the head of state. Her governor generals control the bureaucracy. They control the intelligence agencies. They push through all of the attacks on the Internet, free speech in Canada. It is the governor general. If you read deeply into the last 6 months, they're saying, we're only going to let you have a few thousand websites you can visit. They've all got to be certified. We're talking Chinese communist-level censorship or even greater. China allows millions of sites to be visited and restricts millions. Canada's talking about just a few thousand, and it's not being done even by law. The regulators, because, again, the governor general controls the commerce, and the parliament doesn't do what they want. They just remove them, as they've just done. They suspend them or expel them, and that'll be the next move if they don't play ball, as you talked about them winning a fight decades ago in Australia, similarly. And so that's why you see Australia announcing, what, 2 weeks ago, that they are going to only have a few thousand websites that you can visit. Headlines, you know, web to have Chinese-style censorship in Australia. Google that, you know, hundreds of headlines. And the news was saying, this is good, you know, because obviously they're the mainstream media. They also want to team up, like for like, with the establishment to restrict the burgeoning, exploding alternative media. Now, here in the United States, as Webster was just saying, they're trying to bring in a similar system of total executive power dictatorial power over the states, over the Congress, threatening them with martial law, NORTHCOM, troops on the streets. The question is, from the onset of this nation in 1776, that was a rebellion, as I said earlier, against the very same Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, the very same German family that had just been in for two generations by then in England. King George III removing governors, removing legislators, appointing governor generals, bringing back in this type of system, and we had a war over it because the British soldiers were coming to then disarm the people and to put troops on the streets of the 13 colonies. So same families, same players, same nations, same groups. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and that's why it's so important to study history. And now in Canada, she just says, you know what, Parliament, you're no longer in authority. I'm keeping Stephen Harper in power because he's honchoing the North American Union. He's honchoing letting the banks loot Canada and changing the rules. He is going along with all that. And Webster Tarpley is just an amazing historian and written papers and books on this subject. So Webster, I want to get into Mubai, but let's get back into this and flesh it all out, because this is so, so vitally important.
Well, I would say the only adequate answer to what the Queen and her Governor General have done would be a nationwide open-ended general strike, saying bring the Parliament back together and let them vote, and we don't accept dictation from London or any place else. But as soon as you say that, you see the predicament of the Anglo-American world. In none of these countries do we have organizations that would be interested in mass struggle or even capable of conducting a mass struggle.
And that's due to the propaganda through the media.
Well, it's due to the atomization. I mean, political parties used to exist. They're largely gone. They largely exist on television. They don't have organizations.
It's infiltration of the labor unions, the media. Everything right. has been commandeered.
Right, but that's the question now for all of us is we've got to find ways to create new institutions, and that means institutions. I mean, it means ultimately the end of this, you know, offices in cities, right? If you had an organization with offices in 500 or 1,000 American cities, let's say, you could mount a protest against the things that Obama is going to be doing. I mean, we've got to look ahead now to this period of the 20th of January, the inauguration, till about May 1st.
Okay, I want to do that.
The 100 days to fascism.
But I want to put bookends on the discussion of the shadow government roundtable group, governor general, maritime or administrative law system that the British Imperium, the Anglo-American establishment is using. Finish up breaking down how this shadow government operates in the Commonwealths, how they're trying through executive to set one up here and across Europe again. And finish up, because that's key, how they're doing this, because they're under attack. They're losing their power. They have gotten into a crisis. And then let's get into Mubai and okay. Then into Obama.
Just in terms of the British system is a copy of the Venetian system. The British monarch is the doge, or in this case, the female doge of the entire oligarchy, and this was copied. The French model of a monarchy is a little bit different, right? Something like Louis XIV, that's absolutism, and that's a step beyond, although that also has positive features.
That's divine right of kings.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was tried in England. That was tried by James I and Charles I, and as you mentioned before, Charles I got his head cut off back in about 1640. And since then, you've had these things, the rise of the Whig Party, the English Whig Party, or the great nobility, who are about equal to the king, and the king or the monarch becomes a spokesperson for that group. So the British model is the monarch expresses the collective will of the oligarchy. Now, there have been times,
and they only ceded power because of 1215 and then other struggles in 1640 when they found that the middle class, the upper middle class, the gentry, continued to overthrow the monarchy. So the two interbred and combined forces.
Yeah, well, the outcome of all that process, and it's a complicated one, is that by 1688, right, by the so-called Glorious Revolution, you have the oligarchy in England putting in William of Orange, right, William and Mary, and that's a Venetian doge system where the oligarchy picks the king, gets rid of one king, right, gets rid of James II, brings in William and Mary, and from about 1688 to 1832, you've got this perfect oligarchy, and it's gotten, you know, they've had some rocky times since. The one example that you want to point to, King Edward VII is an example of somebody who really did combine in himself this kind of power, because he had been the Prince of Wales under Queen Victoria. So that meant he had about 50 or 60 years where the mother was the queen. He called her my eternal mother. she never decided to leave the scene. So the Prince of Wales, Edward VII, created this unparalleled network, and he created the alliance system that brought on World War I. In other words, if you wanted to say one person who did most to cause World War I, that would be King Edward VII, because he created this triple entente, right, to crush Germany between Russia, France, and the British, and even he detached Italy from the German-Austrian coalition. So this is a very, very evil institution, and with the British monarchy, you're getting very close to the heart of power in the world. Again, not so much that the Queen embodies this power in herself, but that she represents the City of London, the court, the Foreign Office, the worldwide networks, the Commonwealth, right, the Royal Bank
of Canada.
She is
the spokesperson.
Yeah, and she's the delegated, you know, she's the chairman of the board, maybe, and also spokesperson.
And it's the same thing in the Netherlands with the Queen there as well, who are also intermarried, into that same family.
Right, and that's the monument to that is this tremendous conglomerate, Royal Dutch Shell, which really is, it's Anglo-Dutch. And this is the heart of the oil cartel.
It's 50% British, 50% Dutch.
Right, and there we had somebody like Sir Henry Detterding in the 1920s and 30s, who was a big supporter of Hitler.
And that went back to 300 years previously when they merged the Dutch East India with the British East India.
Right. And this 1688 that I just mentioned,
yes.
In other words, bringing in William of Orange. In other words, William, the King of Holland, the stadtholder or king or whatever they called him, to bring him in and also become King of England.
And he was brought in out of Germany.
And then go against Louis XIV.
Here's a question. I mean, I've studied this quite a bit, but you probably know more, obviously. Was it just there had been so much interbreeding with the original Normans and the French and others that the British line were having trouble having children? Is that why? Because they had all those little states in Germany. How did the German royal line, which hadn't been dominant previously, end up populating all the major royal thrones by 1750?
Well, I would say maybe a little bit later. A lot of these people are the
Germans
the
nieces, were controlled by 1700.
The nieces and nephews of Queen Victoria. That's again, Edward VII was known as the uncle of Europe because all of the Tsar of Russia was his nephew. The German Kaiser was his nephew.
The Austrians, they had blood there.
Yeah, but the big thing is that Queen Victoria had a lot of children, and the intermarriage there meant that you have a kind of a merger of many or most of the European royal houses with the British one, because the British, of course, had they had naval supremacy, they had financial supremacy, they had kind of a pecking order supremacy. I mean, the Kaiser Wilhelm, poor guy, Emperor William II of Germany, was obsessed with the idea that Edward VII of England was, much more prestigious and much more, he had much greater rank in the world oligarchical, universe than he did. So it's basically a united thing, and that's what you see today. But again, what the Queen is representing here is a decision that, comes from the City of London. It comes from the Toronto Financial District. It comes really from Wall Street, too, because there are a lot of people there who are sort of dual, loyalty people that looking to the British as the homeland. Also, notice that the $700 billion bailout that we fought against and tried to stop, and there was still
which is now $8.4 trillion.
Right. That was a British model bailout. In other words, the whole idea from that came from Gordon Brown, Alistair Darling.
Yeah, they admit that he's
and Mervyn King.
He was
the big inspiration of that. Now we've got a funny situation. If you look at Citibank got $25 billion, I think, under the first round of the bailout. The Gordon Brown British model bailout, and began to go bankrupt a second time, right? So now Citibank had to get a second bailout. This one was done under the Swiss model. This was done under the bad bank model, where you create this separate bank and put all the toxic derivatives into that one.
And throw it overboard.
And now they're going to go bankrupt again. So what do you do when they go bankrupt for the third time? You've tried the British model, it failed. You tried the Swiss model. I think it's clear Citibank is a candidate for Chapter 11 reorganization and wipe out the derivatives.
Yeah. Let me digress, and then we'll get more into the bailout, the banker takeover, and then move into Mumbai, because I want to spend time on that, and then Obama coming up in the next hour. Isn't it extremely dangerous
I mean, they don't do this a lot, to have the Queen go ahead and come right out in the open and basically show Canadians and the world that these Commonwealth are really governed by the shadow government and that their parliaments do serve basically at the pleasure and as ceremonial legates.
It's dangerous, and the question, though, is who's going to do something about it? Now, you have this left-wing thing called the New Democratic Party. Are they going to do anything? How about it, New Democrats? Are you going to fight for some notion of rule of law?
Yeah, that's the question. Why are they? Why is the Queen and Harper going after the Liberals?
I think it's a combination of two things. It's on the one side the idea that they think that nobody will fight. Is there a Canadian Trade Union Federation? Are there Quebecois?
Will the Canadian media tell people what this is? What they're seeing?
Yeah, it's that's unlikely. But there might be. You know, again. What the challenge is, if somebody pulls a coup d'etat, this is a cold coup by the Queen.
Yeah, it's a coup.
The only answer to a cold coup of any kind is an open-ended nationwide general strike.
There should be a million Canadians right now protesting in Ottawa.
Right. And that should be a general strike. In other words, shut it down. The model for all this stuff is the Kapp-Putsch in Germany in, 1920, 1921. A group of sort of proto-fascist civil servants and officers took over the government. This is this guy Kapp. And the answer to that was the Social Democratic Party and the trade unions said, we're shutting it all down. Nothing moves.
And
no
Hitler
train.
Tried that with the Munich Putsch a few years later.
Right. That's a second attempt at the Kapp-Putsch. But the Kapp-Putsch is a case where they actually did seize the government in Berlin and then had to give it up because the ruling elite got scared. And they said, oh, my God, somebody's fighting. We better back off, and we'll try again another day.
Because they understand something that causes random explosions can be dangerous to them.
Right. But in this case, they had organization, which we don't have. And we don't have a Social Democratic Party or anything like it. We don't have a trade union.
We don't have a real liberal arm. It's all infiltrated.
Well, we don't have mass organizations, right? That's the biggest thing is there's a complete atomization of the U.S.
Well, that's infiltration by the left gatekeepers and by the right gatekeepers into any organization. I mean, if we try to have a meeting of 200 people, a provocateur shows up and tries to cause a problem. So that gets into the whole other area of the science of dealing with them and throwing them out. I mean, I let very few in my office because I've had folks show up randomly, with a videotape and then try to claim we did something to them, you know, and then run around. I mean, there's major COINTELPRO in this town, Webster.
Well, the only way you fight the arrogance of secret intelligence agencies and people who do this is with mass organization. And it's got to start with mass education.
Well, there's got to be more organizations, too, not just even – you say mass. Those are easy to infiltrate with the tools the enemy's developed. What about a general manifesto of liberty and thousands of groups then joining together spontaneously in what the enemy is most worried about in their own military projections, and that is flash mobs?
Well, a united front. In other words, a united – because right now we don't have such an umbrella organization, so we'd have to – the only thing we could do right now that would be realistic is to say, let's have a united front. I've talked about calling something like Americans Against Fascism. I believe this is an anti-fascist country. I think that's the one thing we can still say about the U.S. The American people are opposed to fascism. And the stuff with Obama, it comes from – the crimes of Bush, Cheney, and the neocons, a lot of people thought they were voting against the devil they knew. Unfortunately, they didn't know the devil they were getting, who is several circles deeper in the inferno than Bush and Cheney. Right? He comes from them pretty much, but he's not the bottom. He's not quite the bottom still. There's something even worse than Obama coming from the wings. But a lot of people thought they were voting against that. And, of course, a lot of people are voting because they see a depression. And they say, well, let's get these reactionary Republicans out of there and let's get a Democrat. And maybe
meanwhile, the enemy had already seen that people were going to rebel after 8 years of this. So years ago, they had groomed and prepared this foundation front with all of these Stalinesque and Leninesque cover points when really he's a corporatist to the core.
All right. And he's a Mussolini. And certainly he does have these overtones of Soviet style totalitarianism, beyond any doubt. But the ultimate
thing
is
they're borrowing from every the most horrible pieces from every machine of dehumanization and combining it here.
It's a cookbook, and that's the cookbook of the CIA People Power Coup or Color Revolution. It's the Kiev 2004 cookbook. It's the Tiflis, Georgia 2003, 2004 cookbook. They've tried it someplace else.
They've even tried north of Israel in Lebanon to come in with these color revolutions, but it seems like the color revolutions are blowing up on every front.
Yeah, but see, that was the Lebanon one is interesting because there they tried to do the Cedars Revolution with the rich Christian Maronites and so forth, and they ran right up against, in this case, a real mass organization.
Hezbollah. Now,
you can say what you want about Hezbollah, right? You wouldn't want to endorse everything they do. But that is an authentic mass organization, and they stopped it cold. And they showed that they could put more people into the streets than the hysterical mass media and the U.S. Embassy and all their paid shills. So that's a real good example. I mean, we don't want to found a Hezbollah here, but
no, but
a mass organization,
yum. Exactly.
A mass organization stops them. Right now, we don't have it. So what we've got to do is, I mean, during the phase that we're in now, up until January 20th, the main thing, I think, is to educate people, right, to denounce these people as they come forward, right? Oh, Robert Gates, who's he? Well, that's Zbigniew Brzezinski's office boy from 1977 to 1979. That's a guy who was up to his neck in the October surprise, up to his neck in Iran-Contra. He's the founder of Al-Qaeda. The founder of Al-Qaeda, Robert Gates, is getting continuity at the Pentagon.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a great doorway into, let's talk about the founder of Al-Qaeda and then dovetail into Mubai. Because, okay. All weekend we're going to be here talking to you about Obama himself for the film. But let's cover Mubai because I don't know your view on that yet, but I bet I can guess. We'll be right back.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound to watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
All right, we are back live. Here is the cover to Webster Griffin Tarpley's Japanese edition of Obama the Postmodern Coup. And here is the cover to another version of this. Which one is this? German? So this is Deutsch. And we've got one of his books sold at Infowars.com. He's got two books on this subject. Okay, and before we leave, we'll plug that, Webster. Webster, let's continue right now with where we'd gotten to, with what Al-Qaeda is, how it was created, how the establishment created radicalized Muslim groups that were already there but funded them, expanded them, to run around the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. This just didn't begin with Brzezinski, to menace governments that the establishment didn't like, and then after they let the extremist Muslims take over, then the West has a new enemy and recycles that. But the point of Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense that Obama has said he's keeping over, being literally the Brzezinski man at the Al-Qaeda desk with its founding, its organization in the late 1970s.
I think Gates sets the stage from a couple of points of view. Last Wednesday, I got up in the morning, go outside, get the Washington Post. Gates will stay at the Pentagon. Reading this thing in the afternoon, reports coming in, Mumbai terrorism. So the same day that the world learned in the papers that Obama had essentially accepted the dictation of his handlers to keep Gates at the Pentagon, throw out all this stuff about hope and change, change, no more change, Gates stays at the Pentagon. Now, Robert Gates, who is this person? Robert Gates, first of all, was, as Brzezinski says, from 1977 to 1979-80, when Brzezinski came to the National Security Council of the Jimmy Carter Trilateral Administration every morning, the first person he saw in the morning was Robert Gates. And the last person he saw in the evening when he left was Robert Gates. So Robert Gates was his right-hand man, his Girl Friday, his office boy.
His
right?
gopher, his minion.
Yeah.
And we see this with these apprentices, with these Sith lords, just like Kashkari is Paulson's long-term servant and minion, now right. Handing out the 8.4 trill.
Right. So Gates is a clone of Zbigniew Brzezinski. They say he's a Republican. This doesn't matter at all. His career,
former CIA director.
Yeah,
also,
we'll get to it. We're going to get to it. Yeah. His career was sponsored by Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, recently, Gates signaled to all of us what he's going to do. And he gave a speech. I don't know if you saw this. It's the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
Yes.
With Jessica Matthews.
The real think tank that really makes a lot of policy.
Yeah, it's a pretty high-level one. It's older. Jessica Matthews, of course, this is the daughter of Barbara Tuchman. This is the daughter of Kuhn Loeb, Warburg, all this stuff.
The attempted Nazi coup in the 30s.
Right. But she's there. And Gates is in a mood of nostalgia. And he says, "Hey, Jessica." Speaking to a gathering at the Carnegie Endowment, he says, "Jessica, do you remember when both of us worked for Zbigniew Brzezinski at the National Security Council, and we got this invitation to go to Algeria on April 1st, I believe it was, of 1978, because that was the national day, and there was an opportunity to meet with the Iranian leadership. In other words, the Khomeiniacs, the Khomeini guys, the Khomeini prime minister, the Khomeini defense minister, and the Khomeini foreign minister. That guy was Yazdi. He was the most important of these." And he says, "Jessica, you remember how Zbigniew gave a speech, and he laid it all out for the Iranians, and he said to them in a private meeting, 'Look, Iranians.'"
Stay there. We've got a break. Back okay. In 70 seconds with this riveting and vital information. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live. We have Webster Griffin Tarpley in studio with us. We're getting into right now the real Obama administration, the real players and individuals that he is putting in place. And if it is possible, it's an even more cold-blooded, wicked group of Anglo-American oligarchs, but now with left cover. And we were getting into just one person of countless, Robert Gates, that he is bringing in to continue on as Secretary of Defense, meeting with the Khomeiniacs in 78, mm-hmm. Right as they're being about to be installed there in Iran. So let's continue with the founding of Al-Qaeda. And then that will be a perfect segue into Mumbai that just happened in India.
Right. So Gates is a clone of Brzezinski. He was his office boy at the National Security Council, 77 to 79. And then you get Brzezinski coming out with this proposition that Islamic fundamentalism is the greatest bulwark against Soviet communism and Soviet imperialism. So Brzezinski plays the Islamic fundamentalist card with a vengeance. Brzezinski is the founder of modern Islamic fundamentalism. He's the one who made these people great. So we have then the secret meeting, and I cover this in Obama, the Postmodern Coup. It was actually so hot that there were some of the editions around the world say, "Hey, wait a minute, can you prove this?" Well, in the meantime, I can, because Gates has come out and said it. So Gates meets...
But that's in so many historical records. I mean, I knew that 15 years ago, and I didn't know one-tenth of
it. Yeah, in general, but the specific meeting. And here's what it comes
meeting.
To.
Okay.
And it comes to the hostages, because here we have Brzezinski meeting with Yazdi. Now, they're in power. The Khomeiniacs have seized power. They're running Iran, right? The Shah is fled. He's in the U.S. at this point. So Brzezinski talks to the foreign minister Yazdi, who's an environmentalist wacko. He's a crazy
eugenicist.
Yeah, eugenicist. He's a Pol Pot. He's a Pol Pot of Iran is the idea.
A life hater.
Yeah. So they're talking. So Brzezinski, and this is Gates telling the story. So Gates is telling the Carnegie Endowment. You know, Brzezinski laid it all out. He said, "Look, we don't like Khomeini, but we're going to give you all the weapons that the Shah had ordered. Everything the Shah wanted, we're going to give you. We're going to give you all the weapons, right? The Hawk missiles, every spare parts for your airplanes, because we have a common enemy. It's the Soviets to your north. The Soviets are our common enemy, so we're going to arm you." So the intent is clear. What Gates is trying to do is to say, remember that our basic approach to Iran over decades is to play Iran against the Russians in a war centered on the Caspian Sea.
Yeah, that's why we're in the Middle East to begin with. I mean, it's not just about weapons, contracts, or oil. It's not so much even about Israel, though that's a part of it. It's really about, and this is stated by the Pentagon, the encirclement of Russia, the right. containment of China.
Right. World power, of which these other things that you mentioned, the oil and the Israelis, are subsets. But it's about world domination, because because when you're dealing with the Russians...
And that's always good when you have subsets, because that gets all the power blocks together when you have them unified with gain.
Right, which is what Bush failed to do, which is now what Obama will try to do. So
that is the nuance. We're hearing there's going to be nuance, and it's going to be a more nuanced, more serpentine, Byzantine deployment.
Yeah, the nuance is, instead of you bombing Iran, you play Iran against the Russians and get rid of both of them that way, rather than ending up bogged down in a war yourself. So what Gates says then, Brzezinski tells the Iranians, look, we're going to give you all the weapons you want. And they say, fine, give us the Shah. And Brzezinski gets all huffy and says, no, we can't give you the Shah, because that would have been a tremendous political suicide for Carter. So out of this meeting, then, comes the idea of doing what? Let's get some hostages taken. This is not the part that Gates will tell you. Gates will not admit to this part. But the whole business with the hostages in Iran was to say, we want the Khomeiniacs to take the U.S. embassy personnel as hostages, because with that, the whole U.S. bureaucracy has an excuse, a cover story. If anybody says, why are you shipping weapons to Iran? They could say, we're doing it to save the lives of these poor hostages.
And we know they did give them the armaments.
And they did. And that's Iran-Contra. Now, so the
hold on, we got to break again. We're going to come back and have plenty of time in the long segment. Then let's get into what happened in Mumbai. Different place, same story.
Same story, same method.
All over again, prisonplanet.com. Be sure and check it out. We'll be right back. Webster, I'm going to skip.
John.org is now off.
John, I'm going to skip this break for internet only and continue talking, but so that it has congruence. See, let's talk about another subject right now. And then we'll come back and finish up there, Webster. Well, we have a big show today. I would have you in there for 3 or 4 hours. It's just great to have you down here. I've got Paris coming up, a big rap star. He's fighting the New World Order. And then we have a guest about all the GMO food and what's happening with that coming up as well. But just talking about betrayal itself, just briefly in the 2 minutes we're going to have left here, I see the Obama minions holding. Because they can't admit they've been conned. They can't admit this euphoria is false, they've been taken. Kind of like conservatives couldn't admit, as Bush tripled the size of government and did all these anti-American things, that he wasn't really a conservative, you know, in the George Washington vein. How do you see this unfolding? Because, I lay the facts out to Democrats on the street, and I say, but he's doing everything Bush did and more, and now he'll get a new lease on life for this whole agenda. Right. And they just go, I don't care. You're just being negative. So I'm literally seeing cult-like behavior.
Yeah, cult-like. I think the operative concept is the Night of the Long Knives, and the Night of the Long Knives was something like June 30th, 1934. So after about 14, 15 months of Hitler in power.
Exterminate the SA.
I don't need these gutter snipes. I don't need these goons, thugs, hooligans, fervently idealistic students.
Plus, they're in revolution mode, so they know they'll...
And they want to go on, and they want to make themselves the head of the army, and they similar to now, right? They want to take over the Pentagon, take over the corporations.
And just like today, it was a predominantly homosexual cult, so that was embarrassing.
There's that, and there are a lot of morphine addicts and drug addicts running around, too, and some of these are the same people. And now, with Mussolini, it's done sort of on the installment plan. I would look to Obama to follow the Mussolini model rather than the National Socialist
model. So the safer, slower
model. But now, this is what Biden has already told us. Biden has told us that by 12 months into the new regime, its standing in the polls will be abysmal. In other words, they'll be down to Truman levels, 22%, 23%, 24%. After 1 year of Obama, you're going to find that some of these flakes are going to flake off. In other words, the left liberal Kool-Aid drinking community is going to be fragmented. And it's, to some extent, you can already see, even on the Daily Kos in places like this, there were people who were not happy with Rahm Emanuel, not happy with Gates. My God.
Hillary.
Hillary they don't like. Volcker. I mean, Volcker is in some ways the most amazing, because everybody knows what Volcker did. 22% prime rate. Your credit card rate, 30%, 35%.
Okay, but let's come back then and then get back into Gates. But then before you leave, let's talk about how they're planning to go after the left when the left actually finds out that this means more wars, domestic security forces, police state, corporate looting, Volcker, all of this. Here we go.
They'll try to pull some of this stuff in.
Because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, Webster, let's get right back into how the Islamo-fascists, as the neocons like to call them, were actually put into power by Zbigniew Brzezinski and, of course, Secretary of Defense Gates at the time, right. who was the man right. handling Iran-Contra. And this is a historical fact, and you bring this up to conservatives. And I mean, I had a Special Forces guy, Black Ops guy, who's now a lawyer with the Terrorism Center, and he's saying we've got to have basically World War III because the Iranians are going to nuke us and kill us, and, oh, my God, the Islamo-fascists, when it's a fact that there were already, these extremist Muslims, and they were energized by the West. So continue.
So the basic idea is that Brzezinski, Gates, and Carter, and Cyrus Vance, trilaterals all, overthrew the Shah. Not only did they overthrow the Shah, but they insisted on bringing in Khomeini. Not a general's coup, not this guy Bakhtiar who was around, but it had to be Khomeini, because Islamic fundamentalism was the great bulwark against Soviet communism. So after this April 1978 meeting in Algiers with Brzezinski and Yazdi, there was agreement that the U.S. is going to continue to deliver weapons, and then there's a side agreement between Brzezinski and Yazdi that nobody talks about, I believe, in which they say, all right, we're going to have a taking of hostages. And there's a lot of stuff, and I go through it, and I got a part on the Carter administration in this book. Now, the October surprise was then the freeing of the hostages, right? And the trick was to try to make sure that the hostages were not freed under Carter before November 1980, because that would have gotten Carter reelected or might have.
And then as soon as Reagan's elected, they release him.
Right. Now, there were then hearings. This guy, Gary Sick, you may remember him, Gary Sick from the State Department or wherever he was, he promoted these hearings about the October surprise. And back in my book, George Bush, The Unauthorized Biography, 1992, I read about the fact that there were lots of reports that George Bush the Elder personally flew to Paris one night in a private jet to meet with some Iranians and then come back. We know that Kissinger was reported to be negotiating with Iranians and others. Dick, whatever his name was, the other guy in the Reagan National Security Council, the thing that Barbara Honegger has written about. But now, when those hearings started, the Soviet government, Moscow, sent a whole bunch of information to the Senate committee, actually the House committee with Lee Hamilton, our dear friend Lee Hamilton, who's such a good investigator, as we know from 9/11. And it said, look, here's all the information about Robert Gates up to his neck in Iran-Contra, or what was then going to be called Iran-Contra, and above all, the October surprise. So this guy is dirty. Now, the other dimension on him is, as he writes in his own memoirs, and this I write about in 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA, Gates wrote his memoirs and he said, we considered creating an Arab legion of fighters from all the Arab countries to go into Afghanistan, which is not Arab but Muslim, and fight the Soviets. But we decided not to do it. Yeah, bunk, you did decide to do it, and it's called Al-Qaeda. So Robert Gates is fighting his own illegitimate child, we might say. Right? Robert Gates at the Pentagon is directing the worldwide struggle against Al-Qaeda, which he founded. And when he was named back in 2006, I put out a short release about this, saying this guy should not be the head of the Pentagon because he's the founder of Al-Qaeda.
But let's expand on that. They're not fighting Al-Qaeda. As we know, 5 years ago I reported, and Cy Hirsch 3.5 years ago, and then last year the White House at whitehouse.gov puts out a press release saying we are funding pro-democracy forces. Here are the four groups. In eastern Iraq into Iran, and they are these Wahhabist groups, and there was one little Kurd group tacked on, and then it turned out the guy commanding the largest group was the number three listed by the FBI, number three in Al-Qaeda, and they're staging terror attacks all over Iran, and Iran is now suing the United States for blowing up mosques, schools, police stations. And then Bush, I remember last year with Mohammad Karzai in the Rose Garden, said, We need to go into Iran because Iran is funding Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And Karzai, even though he's this puppet unicoil, narcotics trafficker, he says, excuse me, Mr. President, because he knew this was on TV overseas. This was like saying that, Spider-Man really lives or that Santa Claus is real. He said, Iran is Shiite and they're actually helping us fight the Wahhabists, which are Sunni, and we're friends with Iran. And Bush said, no, that's not true. Iran is al-Qaeda. And we saw many other people say this. So of course, Bush knows that's not the case. They're talking to the public like they're complete morons. And so al-Qaeda clearly is just this catch-all for Muslim groups they don't control. But then when they have real terror attacks, it's staged. Let's now get into Mumbai.
Well, we know Obama, first of all, is the greatest Paki basher of all time. In other words, Obama is the guy who ran for president saying, I'm going to bomb the hell out of Pakistan.
And then magically the crisis appears.
And the crisis appears. Now, let me stress again, I do not believe there's going to be an attack on Iran. No, because not that I can see. I'll be very surprised, okay?
But Israel says they may go in.
I think this is a lot of bluster, and there's a negotiation going on.
But is Iran still part of this, or have they broken off from the neocons?
You look at it's not the neocons.
Again, well, I mean, I know it's the liberal
Brzezinski
school.
Brzezinski is the guy.
No, I understand. It's
the difference is that
it's the Harvard PhD, but I'm
the Harvard boutique.
Yeah, it's that office. But what I'm saying, did they break off during the neocon time? Did they break off before?
There's been a period of bad relations. Okay, but and you know, there's mass politics and other things that go into this. But right now, Obama ran on a Brzezinski platform, which is to say, I'm going to bomb and destroy Pakistan, and I'm going to negotiate with Iran. What are you going to negotiate with Iran? You're going to negotiate the terms by which Iran becomes a cat's paw for the U.S. in the Caspian Sea against the enemy to the north. And that's, of course, it's still Russia. Bust up the Baku Caspian Sea oil thing. Get an Iranian fleet in the Caspian Sea, an Iranian fleet with nuclear weapons. If you look at Brzezinski's track record, his track record is delivering very advanced military hardware.
Why
to
did the West
Iran.
Help? Why did the West help deliver the components, England, the U.S. to Iran?
Yeah, because that was geopolitics then, and it's geopolitics now. This geostrategic, as he likes to say. Now, if you look at what Brzezinski writes, he goes as far as he can. He says, once we normalize relations between the U.S. and Iran, Iran could resume its usual role of being a positive factor in regional stability. Now, there used to be this thing called CENTO. Remember the Central Treaty Organization? I think it was Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan. It fell apart really in the 60s. It fell apart during the Vietnam War. But they'd like to get back to this. The idea would be play Iran against the Russians. Now, moving to Pakistan, this is a totally different story. The whole business in Afghanistan is now being run for one purpose and one purpose only. Break up Pakistan. Destroy it. With Iran, you want to negotiate. You'd like to have a different government, but for the moment, it's going to be a puppet. Ultimately, they're scheduled to be carved up into six or seven parts as well. But the front burner, let's say, the hot topic is Pakistan. Now, why Pakistan? Because it's a Chinese ally. It has a border with China.
And China needs the pipelines that come through it. And China has said in an Indian-Pakistan conflict, they are now siding, they said 2 days ago, with Pakistan.
Yeah, and this is a long-term thing. Remember the Sino-Soviet split? India went with the Russians, but Pakistan went most decidedly with the Chinese because they have a common border. If you look at Pakistan, it goes from the Arabian Sea and it joins with China above India, above.
Then you've got Nepal and all that.
Yeah, but they're further away.
Down, yeah.
The main thing is that there's a common border between Pakistan and China, and there's this port, Gwadar. You got to get rid of the old map of the Persian Gulf and get a really big Brzezinski-style map. Gwadar is this deep water port at the Arabian Sea. So it's southwest Pakistan, not so far from Iran. But above all, the Straits of Hormuz are there. So the idea with the Chinese is if they could get tankers coming from Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, from those tanker terminals, coming out of the Straits of Hormuz, they could build a pipeline that would go up Pakistan.
That's
would
a pipeline.
Go up the India. It's not there yet, but it could be
but
built.
But they need that. And let's stop. Natural That's gas. Their only avenue except for Russia, but Russia doesn't have big terminals
and
near there.
And it's landlocked, because therefore you get away from the
You've also got the Himalayas, so they can't get it from Russia.
Well, you can maybe go around it. But the main thing is the Anglo-American fleets, the Anglo-American naval domination of the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Sea.
It's key to the
strategy.
You
want to work around that. And if you're China and you make Pakistan into your energy corridor, you can do two things. You can have a pipeline that goes directly from Iran to Pakistan to China. There you have your guaranteed oil supply with no Anglo-American air fleet anywhere near you.
And then you can develop the railways, cities, and then have China dominate the region. Now, let's stop right there because we're almost out of time, Webster. We have a little bit left in this segment and then a five-minute segment. Now, how does the Mumbai-Bombay situation play into all of this, and what is your analysis of what really happened there?
Okay. First of all, this is basically it's coming, you know, as if on cue, right? It's just when they need it. Remember, there's an Indian-U.S. nuclear accord that was approved in October. In the hurly-burly and brouhaha of the presidential campaign, we might have missed the fact that India has now become the spear point of the U.S., the British, and the Israelis in Eurasia. It's what the British used to call a continental dagger. India is a continental dagger. It's 1.2 billion pieces of cannon fodder from the point of view of the U.S., the British, and the Israelis. So the idea is to play them against China, play them against Russia, play them against Pakistan, play them to bust up any possibility of Eurasian
unity. Coalition.
Yeah, a coalition. So the other side of it is this port of Gwadar. That has become operational this year, and they can begin, they could build a pipeline up there that would go straight into China. It would cut about 25% of the cost, and it would save them about 12,000
miles. I understand why it's happening,
right.
But what, I mean,
now,
looking at the attacks.
Let's look at who we have. Let's look at the attacks. You basically got five or six indications, right? First thing is, anything happening in the Indian subcontinent, the British are always the prime suspect. Always look for the old colonial power. The British were there for 200, 250 years. Anything in India, Pakistan, look to the British. What do we find? That the initial reports were that they were British citizens. They were Pakistani origin. British citizens were some of the killers. Those were early reports that then somehow disappeared. So what do we got there? Brixton Mosque, Finsbury Mosque maybe. They have an operation up in Leeds in Yorkshire. They can recruit Pakistanis. They get them out of Her Majesty's prisons. They can brainwash them. They can send them over. That's number one. Secondly, the Israelis. Israel and India have this tremendously developed special relationship, right, where the Indians are always buying hardware and
equipment. Webster, stay there. Webster, stay there. We've got a break again. This is so important. You know, I may have you just come back at the end of the show today because you've got to do an interview in here, and then after, stay with us.
Ionic Zone has the lowest
prices. In fact, let's flesh this out right now. I'm going to go back into the ad here in a minute. What you can do is you can go tape your program. And then instead of running you over to the other studio to do the interview after, I'll just have you leave with myself at 3.
Great.
So I will cut Jeffrey Smith back 30 minutes. And so at 2:30, when you've concluded your taping, I will bring you back in here for the end 30 minutes because this is too important to just end.
Great.
There's 1,000.
Oh, we're already out of time.
Yeah, we're
how fast
we got
goes.
5 minutes left when we come back. So we're going to be back in 3 minutes, and we'll finish.
Yeah, I can go on from. I mean, I got okay, a whole
we'll,
spiel we'll, about Mumbai.
We'll plug your coming back. And we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, I'm not the kind.
You know, we've got Jeffrey R. Smith join us for an hour and a half after Paris joins us for about 45 minutes coming up in the next segment. So I'm going to bring Tarpley back at the last 30 minutes of the show because he's already going to be here recording with Genesis in another room, his Sunday show. And Webster, tell folks when that is on here on the GCN Network.
It's actually World Crisis Radio, and it's available, of course, on demand, like all the shows are, but it's for me, it's a whole week. It's a weekly show. I tape it on Friday afternoon, and it comes on Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern, so 1 o'clock Central.
All right, good. Folks can hear that.
On demand.
Okay, a little bit of time we have left. We're going to bring you back in on the Mumbai attacks because it's so important. They say they're going into Pakistan. They say there's going to be a crisis there.
Right.
And then on cue, it starts. And you were talking about the Israeli situation, and this could be a reverse false flag. It could be a setup, but they were wearing the large Hindu sect Zionist wristbands. They had LSD, cocaine, classic mind control. You have the intelligence chief who just caught them months ago, the Indians. He busted
Karkare.
Yes.
They killed him.
Yes. Well, let's get into that because the evidence, there's hundreds of pieces. Only terrorism chiefs that had exposed that the Indian government was staging terror attacks, they all die within minutes.
Right. So basically the British, we've done. The Israelis, General Mizrahi, the head of the Israeli armed forces, ground forces, goes to the disputed area of Kashmir. That's a big affront to the Muslim Pakistani side of it, right? The whole Kashmir issue is something that we should go through. It's basically India is occupying Islamic populations. The UN resolutions on Kashmir is that they're supposed to be free elections. Who's blocking the free elections is India, not Pakistan. So The Israelis are very big. You could also say, look at the ineptitude, look at the stupidity of the Indian Special Forces. Right? They were trained by the Israelis, and now they're screwing it all up.
Well, no,
that went on for 65 hours.
They stand down and don't shoot, yeah. And then five of the terrorism chiefs and deputies who'd all criticize the government, they are the ones that only magically get triple tapped apiece.
Right?
Impossible.
Okay. But now, concerning this, the U.S., let's not forget the U.S., in these so-called federally administered tribal areas, in other words, the northwest frontier, the northwest area of Pakistan that's along the Afghan border, the CIA, in addition to flying these Predator drones, they also have stations. I mean, they have strong points, right? They have centers of operations among the federally administered tribal areas. And we can assume that they're busily recruiting patsies, fanatics, crazies, mercenaries, hooligans, whatever, to also become terrorists. One of the things the Pakistanis ought to do is to kick the CIA out of those federally administered tribal areas, not let them in there anymore.
Okay, in the few minutes we've got left.
Concerning now, two more. Okay. The Hindus, the RSS, okay? There's this thing, the RSS is a Hindu extremist racist organization with strong fascist overtones.
They killed Gandhi.
In effect. They're the descendants of the killers of Gandhi, exactly.
Because he wouldn't kill Muslims.
Right, because he was not in favor of religious war. So here we have the religious war party, and sure enough, the U.S. and the British are backing
him. And they're the ones tied in with Israel.
That would be, as far as I can see, the ones with the pink armband that the one guy was wearing. But the RSS has been killing people all over India for years and years. You never hear about that.
And it's
right?
RSS infiltrators that keep doing false flags
and
to the Muslims.
Look, you have a terrorist swamp, then you have the RSS provides the ideology for that. And then you have the BJP, which is the governing party, and they are now bidding fair to take over the government again in the backlash to what has just gone on.
And they give the conduit or the tunnel for the people to be brought in. But putting an end cap on this is because we're going to come
end cap
back.
Is the RAW, R-A-W. You heard about the ISI, right?
Yes.
Everybody knows the ISI. How about the RAW, the research and whatever they call it, the research and research and analysis wing, the research and analysis wing of Indian intelligence. They are up in Afghanistan recruiting crazies from Afghanistan to bring them down and have them engage in terrorism against Pakistan. So the Indians have a real dirty aspect. Maybe the Israelis.
Well, it's these same groups setting off bombings in the last few months, trying to overthrow the Pakistani government, and they're admittedly Western-backed. And the Pakistani government has been saying the West is staging this as a pretext, and that was the final point, to bring pressure in on Pakistan or even overthrow them. So when you come back in a few hours, we will break down that. But in the last minute, we have. Talk about that. What is the point of all this?
The point of it is to play India against Pakistan.
Bring in a radical government.
Both.
Bring in a radical war government into India.
And if you play India against Pakistan, you destroy both. In other words, the Indian military would inflict grievous damage on Pakistan. But India is a country with 1 billion Hindus, but there are 200 million Muslims.
That'll cause tribal warfare. We're out of time. So it's just like Iran, Iraq being played off against each other, both sides being funded by the U.S.
It's much bigger. It's huge.
It's not 60 million and 20 million.
It's 20 times bigger.
It's not 60 million
and
20 million.
And nuclear weapons on both sides.
It's hundreds of millions against a billion plus.
And nukes on both sides, which in the case of the Middle East, you absolutely
And then that's the Brookings Institution and others coming out and Rand a few months ago saying we need a world war, something on that scale. Okay, Webster, thank you. We'll talk to you in a few hours back in studio.
Great.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt...
Hundreds of millions against a billion plus.
And nukes on both sides, which in the case of the Middle East, you absolutely...
And then that's the Brookings Institution and others coming out and Rand a few months ago saying we need a world war, something on that scale. Okay, Webster, thank you. We'll talk to you in a few hours back in studio.
Pro-black twist, hard true soldiers in the game, hard truth soldiers back again. P-Dog, I evolve. I drag pigs to the slaughterhouse, but I never eat hog. At the Fed in the World Bank seesaw, we keep y'all in deep awe, cause we raw. Like uncooked crack by the government, hit like a bass rock. Listen to the bass knock, free them in Gina by any means they walk. Let's see who ready to squeeze, giving power to the people and take back America. Panic in the head, a state past the derringer. Aim and shoot Bay, roof to Bay Area. Bury your homeland security car carrier.
Get up, 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 get up. Don't stop the movement, don't stop it. Don't stop it, don't stop it.
Showers. This land is ours. Stand and shouting. This plan to cower isn't ours. This man is proud. Keep the scandalous out. Now, if it ain't what we about, it's irrelevant. U.S. policy route, embarrassing. Never leaving you without. We got medicine, and we never been. We got better sense. Hard truth, revolutionary black militant. Death to the Minutemen. Checks to the immigrants. Streets still feeling it. We still killing it. We still slaughtering. Hawks feed the innocent. Read the imprint. Gorilla funk was birthed out of necessity. Collectively, respect.
Okay, that is the new single, Don't Stop the Movement. And Paris, quite a bio. You can check out his website. We've got a link to it up on Infowars.com. This is from GorillaFunk.com, his official bio. Paris hails from San Francisco Bay Area and was catapulted onto the national hip-hop scene in 1990 with his hit single on the album The Devil Made Me Do It after earning a degree in economics from the University of California at Davis, originally released on Tommy Boy Records. His first single from the album, Break the Grip of Shame, was banned by MTV. And it goes on from there. He's worked with some of the biggest and most successful hip-hop groups out there. Sonic Jihad was released with strong sales and critical acclaim. Again, in 2003, he returned with a vengeance. It goes on and on. If I tried to read this whole bio, it would take quite a long time. But, Paris, it's great to have you back. For some of my listeners who may not know who you are, why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself? You're also, of course, a 9/11 truther. Way back in 2002, you went public, or maybe even earlier. I saw some posts by you day one dealing with that. So you've definitely got a lot of courage, and I enjoy your music. So thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again, Alex Jones. How you doing, man?
Oh, busy. I'm super busy. I bet you're busy as well.
Yeah, I am. I got to congratulate you on the birth of your child. I know that I haven't spoken with you since, so
absolutely.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. But for those that don't know who right. you are, I mean, break down. You, what, sold 3-4 million albums, worked on a lot of other huge albums?
Yeah, I've basically been making counter-establishment hip-hop that, challenges the system. It's life-affirming music that I've been making for the entirety of my career. I started in 1990 and have been on a lot of different labels and am now completely independent and completely independent but distributed by Universal, ironically enough, because they have noticed the fact that that there are people out here who hunger for this kind of material. And I have produced Public Enemy and Dead Prez and The Coup and a lot of other groups that are out there that represent these same sentiments, and I'm still doing it.
Paris, let's go back to 2001 and then look at what happened there and your views and take on that, and then let's accelerate forward to what's happening today geopolitically, what's happening in different sectors of the world, and your take on somebody like Barack H. Obama.
Well, 2001, my current company and my last record, which was Sonic Jihad, which I guess got on your radar a while ago, occurred as a result of our response to 9/11. And, after doing a lot of independent research and actually viewing some of your films and soaking up a lot of the information that was available online, I came to the conclusion, as have you and most of the people listening to you, that 9/11 was a self-inflicted wound, as you like to put it. And seeing the response, seeing the erosion of our civil liberties, seeing the shredding of the Bill of Rights, seeing the increase in intolerance, seeing the increase in racism and racist wars, around the world led me to want to become more involved in making protest statements and to endorsing material that reflects that viewpoint. And so Gorilla Funk was formed, and my first record, Sonic Jihad, came out. It was pretty much assailed by, you know, a lot of the mainstream press outlets, MSNBC, Fox News, the whole thing. And it was embraced by people who recognized truth. And it did well enough to get on Universal's radar to allow me to be able to sign other artists to, you know, kind of rally the people around that, you know, felt the same, who were also disenfranchised and unavailable, unable to come out through traditional outlets. And, you know, I've seen the whole thing kind of, you know, in some respects, things have gotten worse. In some respects, things have gotten better, at least from the outside looking in.
Well, before we get into what's happening currently, just finishing up on along the lines of the music you put out.
Right.
I mean, I have to say, I mean, I like some hip hop, I like some rap. You know, I grew up listening to a lot of it in Dallas, but mm-hmm. but even then, I only like certain people, and others it sounded terrible. But I mean, it's the same with every genre,
yeah,
classical,
sure.
Country, rock and roll. But particularly, I don't know of really anybody else who, when I listen to the music, it sounds 100% in my mind. Like, I can't imagine it sounding any better with the beat, your voice, bringing in the choir like you do with What Would You Do?
Right.
I mean, just all of it. So, I mean, I am really a fan just of your sound. And then why it's 100%, then the message, especially in some of those songs you did in that album after 9/11. I mean,
right.
That's why I say I think it's really the anthem for 9/11. Truth. I mean, I like Immortal Technique and a lot of other folks, and he's great and has a really great sound as well. I just don't think that it's consistently as powerful as yours. I mean, I'm not trying to choose sides. I'm just saying you really are.
No. I mean, there are really only two real sides to choose. So, like, and the difference between me and Immortal Technique, those aren't the choices, you know. But I appreciate that, man. Really, I do. I just always said that I was going to make music that I wouldn't be ashamed of in a few years. That's really kind of my litmus test. Like, when I'm doing things, I want to treat each project as though I'll never get the chance to do it again. Which is, that's pretty legitimate.
Well, that's how life really works. That's how life really works. Now, shifting gears.
Uh-huh.
Everything is nuanced in the world. Like, I just had Webster Tarpley in here with all the documents. The United States funded the Iranians to come to power, gave them the weapons. That's on record. Gates and Brzezinski admit it. Now, they're the guys behind Obama, and whereas I hate George Bush, called for his arrest, you know, terrorist, but, you know, people see this two-dimensional, like, well, you're against Bush, you must be for Obama, or if I'm against Obama, I must be for McCain. When I'm against McCain, I'm saying, no, they're all bought and paid for, but then I look at who will be able to carry the New World Order agenda further? Who will neutralize the left to stand down and say, yes to war, yes to a police state? And then who will actually pacify the public so the abuse of black people, minorities, everybody can continue? And, you know, 9-10 months ago, I said, oh, I like Obama. He says he'll get us out of the war. He won't spy on the American people without warrants. And then
right.
Now he's gone back. I mean, I'm just setting the table here, and then I want you to take a lot of time going over this. Now with horror, I'm seeing this. Now, whereas I like seeing people happy and relations being good and black folks I see everywhere, really, I mean, you can see a visual, you know, feeling good. Hey, white people aren't all racist. They elected a black guy. Whereas I wish that was a good, beautiful thing. I know that in the end, it's going to be a huge betrayal and it's going to be designed to actually make everybody, in a way, even blame black people in the end when Barack Obama is a New World Order front man. Now, if you disagree, that's fine. But, I mean, break down. I mean, I've laid that out. It's so nuanced. And,
right.
and the public only sees, you know, in shades of black and white, pun intended.
Right.
Where
right.
do you see this going? You know, just like in Mumbai, CIA, Mossad, MI6 are publicly funding the radical Hindus, the radical Muslims, bringing them in so that they can get a radical group in control of India to then attack Pakistan. And I mean, right there, see, that's nuanced. I'm not against the Hindus. I'm not against the Muslims. I'm not against any. I want them to see how, through tribal control, they're being manipulated.
Well, I'm hoping that's not the case. I do. I really do. I hope that's not the case. The one thing that causes me to have great pause about Obama is the fact that the establishment immediately embraced him when
yes.
he came out. That's the one thing that, you know, so this whole idea of him being an agent of change and some kind of a freedom fighter for social justice is pretty much scratched off the list for me. In terms of him being perhaps, you know, a lesser of many evils, that's probably how I look at him at this point. As a black man, of course, it does make me feel good to see me being reflected in a position of power. I'm not going to lie about that. But by the same token, you know, as a somebody that has progressive values, man, you know, I am disheartened by some of the things that I've seen and some of the things that I've heard him say. A lot of what he said during the campaign, I wanted to chalk up to him needing to say to be able to get elected. But now, you know, this whole idea of reaching across the aisle, and you know, I'm somebody who has pretty hard left leaning positions, man, and I'm actually out for blood. I don't want to reconcile with anybody. You know, I don't want to see everything swept under the rug and everything be forgiven and, you know, us try to kind of forge this new path and this new direction with people who I am, you know, ardently opposed to. I want to see things happen the right way for a change. And, I, you know, whether or not he's going to be the one to do it is still, you know, we still don't know yet. But I do know that I'm not in a reconciling mood.
Well, and I've seen the establishment say that Obama will bring the people back to trusting the government. And then look at who he's appointing. It's all the same people.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as the people trusting the government, I don't know if that will ever happen again. I think that, first of all, this economy has to turn around, if it is to turn around, before anybody pays attention to what anybody in the government has to say.
But that's it, Paris. This is a designed, and I want you to speak to this. I have all the documents, and I know you're a well-read guy, and you've got an economics degree there. Yeah. But, I mean, what's happening is the people under Clinton, and the Republicans supported it, it's all one group, they changed the Glass-Steagall Act. They made the laws where the banks could do this.
They have
designed this to implode markets, so that the establishment can then come in, cut off liquidity to everybody else, have the real economy implode, and the banks overcapitalize in the, quote, bailout with now $8.4 trillion as of December 5th, 2008, and then buy up what's left of the real economy. And Obama is the biggest cheerleader for that. And when the bailout wasn't about to happen, he got up there and got on his bully pulpit and said, we need this. So I that's what I'm saying, Paris.
So what are your feelings about this auto bailout then?
Well, I mean, I see it as a distraction, because $25 billion, $40 billion compared to $8.4 trillion, according to Bloomberg and AP, in 7 weeks. You know, the whole debate about should we bail the autos out, that's a diversion. But I'm against socialism. But if we're going to devalue the currency and turn up the printing presses, I just say give every American $50,000. That's basically what this $8.4 trillion comes out to. I just say give it directly to the people, because we're the ones that are going to pay it back in taxes anyways.
Interesting. Well, I know they just came out with the jobs report today. So something over half a million jobs lost today, and that's almost 2 million jobs lost since January of this year. So it's definitely rough out there.
Exactly,
you know?
And it's accelerating. So, I mean, specifically, what I'm saying here is, in studying the world, what I do is I just go to what the truth is, and I go to what the real policy reports of the elite say, and then I go diametrically opposed to them. And so my job's easy. So
true contrarian. There you go.
Well, let's bring it. Well, I mean, I'm just against their agenda because I know their agenda is bad for humanity. Here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the tens of millions of people by Chase Manhattan Citibank displaced in Mexico, driven off their ancestral lands through phony environmental movements using the left to force them into Mexico City, then into the United States. I don't blame them wanting a better life. I am against them being abused. I've gone out and protested out at the FEMA camp north of Austin where they keep them without due process. But at the same time, I understand the globalist plan is to dissolve borders to drive down wages. So, Paris, shouldn't I be totally against something that is the cornerstone of the big banks against the United States? See how that's nuanced?
Which would be what?
Well, all I'm saying,
talking about immigration.
Yes, I mean, I know you bring that up, and that you know, you're certainly against the oppression of these people, but
right.
At the same time, I'm going to the next level, and I know you can grasp all this. You're probably smarter than I am. I've been more successful in business than I am, so I'm asking you the question. If
right.
the New World Order wants open borders, and then actually wants to stir Americans up with third world populations they bring in to divide and conquer, what should I do? Should I go along with what the big foundations and the money wants?
To divide and conquer, I just know that it's easy to scapegoat a population. And I know that, that this plays directly into the hands of America's racist legacy.
I agree.
You know, so just in terms of looking at a particular group of people and you know, kind of galvanizing this Joe the Plumber public against them, I'm opposed to that. Now, in terms of what the end result is going to be, like this dissolution of borders and all that, I don't know if I even look into it that far.
I understand.
You know, from where I'm sitting, I see a group of people who want a better life, who, you know, are pretty much the end result of America's foreign policy of economically depriving people. And, you know, so when you see people who want to come here from what they think anyway, because I don't necessarily know that America gives you the better life. Let me say that out the gate, because I've traveled a bunch of other places where things seem to be a lot easier on a lot more people. And they're not, at least right now, they're not in any kind of danger of being invaded by America. So.
All right, let me throw this in.
I don't know.
Paris, let me throw this in at you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Talk about nuance. That's what I'm saying. Everything is five or six.
I don't think that anything occurs on the global stage by chance.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
What you're saying.
Exactly, but I want your take on this. I want your take on this. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back and talk about it after the break. And then we're going to plug your new record and the website and the rest of it, which is great stuff.
Okay.
Exactly. They are announcing they're going to put 20,000 U.S. troops on the streets of America. The Army document says it's going to be against the American people for civil insurrection. But then they put out public press releases that it's going to be stopping the illegal aliens on the border. But I know, because they already did that 2 years ago, that stage, and they're not even going to do that. So you're right. It's nuance. They are using it as a stereotype, catch-all, false galvanization to get people to rally around accepting a police state.
I guess so. So are you thinking that there's going to be some kind of a national event that really brings this immigration debate to the surface? Because honestly, that's kind of been squashed lately. I haven't heard that a lot. I know that people become more intolerant as economic times get harder.
I
do know that.
Well, listen, we'll get your take on this when we get back. I may not have fully made my point. My point is, yes, they work both sides. We'll be right back. It's The Synthesis. Up on PrisonPlanet.com right now is a big story posted last night by Paul Watson, dealing with the new attorney general, who was deputy AG at the time, covering up the murder of an Oklahoma City bombing, a person they thought was a government agent that they were trying to get rid of. They killed people involved with the trial. Exposing it, that Jesse Trinidad story is up on PrisonPlanet.com. I could do a whole show on that, and we are next week with Jesse Trinidad again for 2 hours. Huge information. We have the government documents that the federal government did carry out that bombing. Paris, the point I was trying to make is that, yes, the global architects do all these evil things in the name of America and oppress populations. Then they go in with Ford Foundation money and others, and we have the Carnegie documents and all of it on this, congressional hearings, and then they foment rebellion, and then basically, you know, the average white guy, you know, taking his, you know, 2-year-old for a walk down the street gets the blame as the evil New World Order mastermind. And you know, just like, you know, black guys get blamed for supposedly being murderers because people think OJ did something. You know, it's this lowest common denominator. And yes, they're going to use the huge social crises of 30 million people in this country, you know, who will work for almost nothing, you know, because of what was done to Mexico by our own government, by the globalist. They then come in here, and the government then uses that, the name of going after them, to actually oppress the entire population. That was the point I was trying to make.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got you. In that regard, I got you, man. As a rule of thumb, I take a contrarian stance when it comes to what the government has to say, too. You know, when I'm told something is a particular way, I choose to look at it the other way, too, just based on the history. You know, based on the history of oppression, based on the policies and how they've affected people over time. So, yeah, I know.
You know, there's a lot going on. We've got about 30 minutes left with you. And instead of myself sitting here guiding the interview, what do you want to get into now, Paris?
I looked to come on your show to have you guide the interview.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, what I'm saying is, I've got a million questions. But is there anything really eating at you right now? Something you want to, you know, tell millions of people?
Nothing that you haven't heard over and over and over again. I'm always just I feel good to be in the presence of people who feel the same. For change, you know, ordinarily when I do interviews, I come on and you know, there's a pretty strong chance that they'll be adversarial, you know, and to know that I can be a part of a community where people do question what the government has to say, where people look at the events that have taken place on the day of 9/11 and everything that's occurred since 9/11 and can digest that and know exactly what's happening. I mean, it feels good to be a part of that community, really.
Well, absolutely, and we all are, you know, together in our fight for liberty. And speaking of that, we're about to come back and start the next hour.
Uh-huh.
As being what I would call a black leader, not just, you know, a leader of folks that want freedom, but particularly a black leader. Mm-hmm. Here's an example. I see in the New York Daily News that they're grabbing black children, the CPS is, and testing pesticide on them until they die. And then I ask, why aren't black leaders talking about that?
I don't think anybody knows about that. That's my first time hearing of it.
So there you go. The problem is that people don't know about it.
Yeah, it's disinformation. There's a lot of disinformation out there, but there's also just a lot of lack of information. You know, a lot of people don't know where to turn, and most people do get their news. I mean, you know, most people do get their information, you know, wrong as it often is, from TV. Nobody reads. You know that. I mean, it wouldn't be so easy to pull the wool over America's eyes if people read more.
What is it, 9% of the American people read one book a year?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Twilight?
It's unbelievable. Well, the website is GorillaFunk.com. My website's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Check out a lot of great videos and books. Let's talk about some of the films you're producing, Paris, because you're branching out into just all sorts of areas. Let's talk about some of the things you're working on when we get back in 70 seconds.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The website, again, is GorillaFunk.com. He is Paris, I don't know, 3-4 million. How many records? I know it's more all the time. How many records have you gotten out there to the people, Paris?
4 million. Just about 4 million, exactly.
Oh, so now it's 4 million.
Yeah.
Since the last time I had you on the show. Yeah, you're also branching out into filmmaking and producing films and distributing films. Quite a eclectic group of films last time I checked.
Yes. Yeah, that's the next, that's the final frontier for me, is to branch out of just doing music alone and start doing films and you know, putting out messages in the visual medium. The first project is called Sounds Like a Revolution, and it'll be out third quarter of next year. And it's a film about, musicians who want to make a difference and kind of details the consequences that we've all faced as a result of our beliefs in, you know, this post 9/11 environment where, dissent is stifled. And the media outlets that we have come to rely upon self-censor. It features me and Michael Franti and Anti Flag and the Dixie Chicks are in it. Henry Rollins, the coup, I believe, is going to be narrated by Erykah Badu. It's a pretty involved undertaking.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's one of them. You know, another one is called Nation Building, which is kind of along the same lines, but it's more hip-hop centric. And there are some other films that are kind of already in various stages of completion. I don't really want to start films from the beginning. I know when you make your films, you pretty much do them from start to end. I'm looking really to buy into existing films.
No, I understand people, and that's great.
Know, let's yeah, shift people kind of haven't you know they can't finish them because of economics.
Let's shift gears.
Uh-huh.
Now, should prospective filmmakers run stuff by us? Should they email you at Gorilla Funk or send you a trailer?
Absolutely. Yep, please do.
And
please do.
And you're going to be putting these out on... Go ahead.
Well, because ordinarily, you know, people who are making films, most people who are independent filmmakers, you know, have money issues. So if they can send their, you know, their films in whatever stage of completion that they're in to us, you know, I'll review it and see if we can fit it into what we're doing over here. You know, of course, the message has to be consistent. And, you know, my film deal is actually with Vivendi through Universal. And the record side is through Fontana Universal.
Wow, that is exciting. So folks can
definitely... I'd love to put some Alex Jones films out.
I know. We got close to doing that, and I had the baby, and my wife had the baby the last 8 months, and I just couldn't give your great offer a proper consideration, so I apologize. But hopefully in the future we can do something. But Paris, we're about to break and come back in a long segment, so there won't be all these breaks in front of you. But
right.
but briefly, get into the new single and when a new record's coming out and how folks get that.
The new single is called Don't Stop the Movement. The video, believe it or not, just got added to MTV, which was kind of a surprise because the video is pretty much kind of a very visual interpretation of the people rising up and overthrowing the government. The album is available everywhere online for sure. You know, I have partners with Best Buy and, you know, Virgin Music and, you know, all the traditional brick-and-mortar outlets. But in order to ensure that you can find it, it's just best to order it online, and you can go anywhere. The other thing that's interesting about this project in particular is that there is a scholarship and housing contest that I'm offering in it, kind of as a golden ticket type of a contest, where there are three chances to win $10,000 towards higher education or housing for anybody that happens to find one of these tickets in the CD.
Awesome.
Yep.
So this
is only available in the CD. You can't, you know, you can't participate by buying it online.
But this isn't your daddy's Willy Wonka. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Federal agents, we are armed.
What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn it away?
I see a message from the government. Like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth, soldier spitting. I stay committed, gives a f*** to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another push season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never seek to stop. The Illuminati, 666, all connected. Stole the votes, they control the race and take elections. It's the Skull and Bones Freemason Kill Committee. See the dragon getting shittier in every city.
All right, folks, we are back live. That's an oldie but a goodie from 7+ years ago. Check it out at GorillaFunk.com. Got Jeffrey Smith coming up in about 25 minutes. Paris, continuing our discussion about activism and media, you know, Universal approaching you, getting your stuff out that way, more and more alternative, powerful, anti-establishment information is being allowed out because the old media, as you know, the establishment media is having trouble selling their tired old propaganda, their products, and it's kind of if you can't beat them, join them. I'm seeing this everywhere where even, you know, I am accepted, not on big national TV shows, but on mainline radio, international media, by liberal conservative journals. They're having to admit that everything I talked about, you talked about, and others talked about is coming true. Can you speak to that, the fact that this struggle of awakening, I really see a chance of us turning the corner here?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that you know, at least in my experiences, it's amazing. Like, I went on Hannity and Combs, and I was being broadcast from a satellite, I guess a satellite feed in San Francisco, because I'm from the Bay Area out here in California. And the people that worked at Fox knew the music and were warm, man, and really embraced the message. And they were like, man, we can't stand working here, which was not what I expected.
I've had CNN and Fox people behind the scenes tell me the same thing. I've had hosts call me at the office after I was on a few times and saying, we got record ratings the last 2 days you were on, but you are now banned. This wasn't from programming. This was from the business office,
right,
from the board, said do not put him back on. So exactly, we've got the people on the inside more than anybody knowing it's all staged.
Yeah, and they, you know, and people just appreciate it when somebody comes out, you know, like you or me, comes out and says what needs to be said and can put out material that people can relate to, man, that reflects their real life existence. I think that the success that I've had is that I've really kind of taken pains to endear myself to the public so that people understand that I really do care. You know, I mean, this is not like a fast track to riches doing what we do. By any stretch of the
imagination. Oh, you've got incredible talent and had plenty of chances to sell out. And I'm not saying I've got some great talent, but I've been approached many times.
But you know, this is taking the hard road, you know, and sticking with it and remaining consistent, man. That's just kind of been my focus.
Does that make it that much sweeter to be as successful as you are over and over again, taking the road, being self-made, creating your own distribution system, everything you did?
Oh, of course. I mean, being able to do what I want to do, kind of when I want to do it, and, you know, to work with the people that I want to work with. Because I'm at the stage in my career now where, you know, I don't want to do just anything, obviously. I think the lowest point in my career was producing a Tony Braxton record. I don't know if you know who that is or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like I was going through the motions, man, you know, and the music was like something you would hear in the dentist's office. And, you know, to me, music is only really engaging when it moves you, you know, emotionally.
Well, your music certainly moves me. I see it more as poetry with the music in the background, really.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Speaking of the way the world's changing, you know, I witnessed urban warfare trips in the Marines and Army training to take over our cities, arrest our citizens, confiscate our guns. And that was really the wake-up call for me in 96, 97 when I physically saw this. Mm-hmm. And I'd always heard the stories, but then found out it was true. And now they're announcing, yeah, troops on the streets of America. The governors won't be in charge. The executive branch is above Congress. Congress was threatened 7 weeks ago with martial law if they didn't go along with the banker takeover bill. I think one reason people are waking up now is because it is late in the game, and the establishment is really – I mean, the Queen of England just abolished the parliament in Canada because they were about to throw her people out and said, I am the head of state, and then pulled out her director general. That's in Reuters, who really is the dictator. And so they're even having to admit now that Commonwealth nations never got out from under the Queen. That's in Reuters today.
Hmm. Interesting.
Can you speak specifically just to the expanding police state?
Well, yeah. Well, you know that For example, the Patriot Act is not going to be repealed. I know that a lot of people thought that was going to be the case when Obama came into power, and there was going to be like this large cash infusion in the social programs, and, you know, an immediate pullout of Iraq and that kind of stuff. And it's unrealistic to think that that would be the case. You know,
they just said troops for 3 more years are going to be there.
And oh, really?
They just said yesterday 3 more years and of the main force of 160,000, mm-hmm. and then a permanent force of 50,000 basically forever.
I think the way that we can frame this moving forward is to look at this economic downturn, which is probably the worst in this country's history. It will be.
Yep.
As being the 2008-2009 9/11.
Financial 9/11. I agree.
There you go. And so when you look at it that way, and you look at, you know, you say a traumatized mind is a susceptible mind, like you can mold public perception and have the public be behind whatever you want them to be behind when they're traumatized. You can look at this economic violence being visited on the American people as having the same effect as 9/11.
Well, again, I don't even blame Obama. He is a complete and total puppet. I'm sorry to tell folks, just like every other president since Kennedy. But he is going to end up, they're not going to be able to blame all this on Bush, even though he's a puppet as well. That's what I'm saying, Paris. They're going to set him up. The people really believe he's going to bring change and change things. It's like Bill Hicks said, you know, they basically take the president in and show him the Zapruder film and then say any questions. And so that's my whole point, is I want people to get it out of their heads that there's going to be any change other than the fact that this guy can string a sentence together and Bush couldn't, and this guy is eloquent and, you know, and has a nice smile. I mean, so it's not as insulting to have Obama because, you know, he is slick and smart compared to Bush up there. It's kind of insulting to have this, you know, monkey up there every day. So with Obama, it's going to be a lot better. But that's it in packaging. I mean, I guess they're going to kind of dress themselves up when they rape us instead of, you know, doing it with just no clothes on.
Yeah, well, and we're both pessimists. So, you know, I can't even say that I'm cautiously optimistic anymore. I'm just a pessimist about the whole thing. And, you know, hopefully I'll be proven wrong, but chances are I won't be, and we'll both still be doing this a few years from now. You know, when I can do party music and you can make comedies, then we'll all be cool.
Man, I would love to make weird documentaries, you know, about subcultures and things, and I'd love to make, you know, things about nature. I'd love to make documentaries about whales. I like whales. I like, you know, who's in there running the shows looking at me weird. Did you know that there's a whale called the bowhead whale that lives to about 250 years?
I do now.
I mean, I'm looking at my guy and they're looking at me like I'm a weirdo. They're like, well, no, man.
That's not weird, man. You think, I hate to say this because it's hella cliche, but you think outside the box. And I do too, man. There's very little in mainstream media that speaks to me. You know, and that's why I stay in my lane doing what I do.
Well, I mean, the point I was making is that I have all these other thoughts and all these
other
dreams.
Yeah, there's but you feel like that, you know, you don't want to waste time with any of that when they're more urgent things to discuss.
Exactly. That's the point, is actually I'm sick of this, but the fire in my belly just drives me to do it because I have no future if I don't. My family has no future, and so I'm kind of mad like my life's been stolen in a way.
Well, yeah. And that happens once you become enlightened. That's the truth. It's difficult to sit by and just, you know, take what's spoon-fed to you when you know better.
Exactly.
That's the point that I've been making for quite a while now. When you know better, man, none of this is acceptable.
Well, that's it. I mean, I would love to take 3 vacations a year and spend more time with my family.
Right.
And I want to. And I can't disengage because there's always 100 more stories, 100 more crimes, 1,000. It's driving me nuts.
Somebody got to keep the torch burning. So there it is. You have this network set up, man. Don't waste it. That's how I look at it. I'm now finally in the driver's seat to be able to reach people globally doing what I do in a way that is a little bit more comfortable than it's been in the past because I have this relationship with Universal where they manufacture and they distribute and everything. So, you know, I treat it very seriously, and I treat each project as though, you know, as though it's my last.
Well, you know, people always look at folks that have been somewhat successful, and it's like, even though we're doing good work, sometimes they get mad at us, and I just say to them, hey, I want to see you do well. Get in there. Do the decades of hard work. But so many people come into this, the Enlightenment movement or whatever you want to call it, and they want instant success. Does life work that way usually, Paris?
Well, you just got to work for it like anything else. But I do know this. I do know that, you know, there are a lot of hip-hop artists and musical you know, personalities that I want to work with whose abilities I really respect, but more often than not, what they have to say doesn't jive with what I'm doing. You know, it's like you can't make messages that are degrading to people and come out on Gorilla Funk. You just can't do it.
Well, and again, let's talk about that in the final segment. It's come out, as you know, in documents and programs that the establishment wants to put out this degrading message, not just in hip-hop or rap, but in rock and roll and everything. And that's been done by design. The CIA has been involved in that. And so that's why you see this degrading, materialistic mindlessness. And that's why it's so refreshing to see what you're doing, Paris, because it really grabs you in your soul, but also intellectually. And it's going to be through artists such as yourself that we turn the corner on this. Stay with us. Wow, an hour has gone by fast. Last 5 minutes with Paris. The website is GorillaFunk.com, GorillaFunk.com. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is here. Hope you get your orders in by the 17th. Ship it out to you UPS in time to give it this holiday season. Terror Storm, Endgame, Truth Rising, all my films, Fabled Enemies, Jason Burmes' film, Loose Change Final Cut I produced, all available at Infowars.com. And, of course, you can watch them online in high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. And you can get 5 months plus free right now at PrisonPlanet.tv, and that's running through Christmas. And you can also share your passcode with a few friends and family. Don't give it to too many people because then it'll block you. But you can share it with, well, really, I'd share it with about three people. And that way you can give yourself a gift of a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, burn the films to disc, give them to people, get them out to folks. That's how we're really affecting change. And the people are ready to hear the truth now like they've never been before, because other patriots before us, myself and many others, warned people, laid the groundwork, hit the barbed wire for everybody else in this fight, in this war, and so now the public is very receptive. Paris, you know, going into break, I didn't write a note. What was the point I said I was going to ask you when we came back? It was something really important.
I have no idea.
I don't either. It'll, as soon as you leave, it'll pop back in my head, but I had some really important question to ask you, but hell, it doesn't matter. I'm busy running around behind the scenes, lining up a bunch of other stuff. In closing, I mean, there's so much going on out there. Where do you see things going in the future with so many people waking up?
Who knows, man? I can only hope that it doesn't get violent and bloody and out of control. You know, I know that that's probably an optimistic statement right there. I know that things have to change. You know, I know that all the wealth can't be maintained by, you know, such a small portion of the population. I know that things can't remain as unequal as they've been. I know that times are harder than they've ever been, and I know that people are going through it, man. And you know, there are all of these artificial things in place to keep people in line, to keep sheeple in line, you know, kind of lockstep with what the government has going on and what the agenda is. And, you know, people are waking up. The only real way to make them wake up, though, is by doing what we do, by hitting them with information and entertainment sources that provide information that goes against the grain of what they see on TV all day long.
Absolutely. I remember what it was. It was, and this is a great segue here at the end, government wanting to push MTV in the past, choosing what it wanted to push.
Oh, right.
I've talked to so many people in the music industry who say, you know, something that is unpopular but anti-human, anti-liberty, anti-woman, man, the establishment will push that while trying to block things that are socially responsible.
Well, we've seen that happen in hip-hop alone. I mean, just, if I just take hip-hop, I mean, because that's obviously my genre and that's what I started in. When I first started in the early 90s, the groups were, you know, me and Public Enemy and Boogie Down Productions, X-Clan, and all of these groups that reflected this Afrocentric sensibility that wanted to see the community advance, right? It wasn't an anti-white sensibility. It was something that really wanted to see people do better overall. And that those types of messages have been squashed for the most part. And you know, the rise of gangster rap, you know, we see a direct correlation between the messages and the outcomes in our community.
Which just prepares the black males to go into the prison system.
Of course. Exactly. You know, and that's big business, you know. In the same way that there are college towns, and I don't have to tell you or your listeners this, but in the same way that there are college towns, there are towns where the entire, you know, economy is driven by prison.
Well, take Tulia, Texas, where they arrested 56 black people in 1 month, none of them with drugs, with no evidence, because the only business in that town was a prison, and they put the black people on the town in the prison.
There you go.
And it turned out it was all a setup. Turned out it was none of them were using drugs.
Yep. But when you see, you know, and you see the same thing with any corporate enterprise now that's really large. Like, there are certain towns that I've been to, for example, I have in-laws in North Carolina, and Walmart is the main employer in some of these small cities. You know, Mooresville, Statesville, North Carolina, those kind of spots, you know, where the Walmart is huge, man. You might see a Walmart that's, you know, hundreds of thousands of square feet, and they have Walmart social events and, you know, calendar where basically your entire life is dictated by this corporation. That's
who has taken over the market with Chinese slave goods.
And, you know, mom and pop enterprise, man, depending on what it is, it's a hard sell right now.
Well, that's why it's important to support alternative music, film, farmers markets, anything alternative, anything that's made by a smaller organization or group is so important. And Paris, I want to have you back sooner than a year. I'm glad that we dropped out of contact. I've been busy. You've been busy. I'm glad that you emailed us about your new album. I'm glad to have you back on.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Please visit GorillaFunk.com. The new album is Acid Reflex. It's available in stores now. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate everything, man, as usual.
Absolutely. Acid Reflux in stores now. Paris, we will talk to you soon and have you back up soon if you'll do it.
That'll work, man. Thank you. Take
care.
We're on the
Let me say bye to him unless
the
he's gone.
On the
Leave me
run.
On air.
1 second.
Is he still there?
Go ahead.
Hey, Paris.
Yes.
I haven't been able to talk to
Alex,
you.
Alex, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, listen, we're on air still right now. Okay. Streaming at prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. That's why I didn't talk to you during the break. Listen, okay. Not as busy now, and I'm sorry I didn't work harder with you on that thing when you gave me that offer earlier, but if you're not too busy, let's talk about it again soon. When's a good time to call you?
Man, hit me up anytime. I'm around.
All right.
Literally around, especially with, with the holidays coming up. I'm really coming to a start, the end of the year slowdown. So
absolutely.
Reach out for me when you're ready. I'm here.
Well, also, my producer's been out this week, so I've been kind of by the seat of my pants. Let me just ask John, did you get Jeffrey R. Smith, John?
He's all set and ready.
Okay, good. Just so you know, I didn't put in a good plug. I just plugged the website. So I've seen on screen, we've been putting the website and the new album cover. When I come back, I'll plug it after you've left us, Paris. I just say Acid Reflux by Paris.
It's Reflex.
Reflex. Yes. Acid
yep.
Reflex.
By Paris, yep. And
Reflux.
And remember, there's a that college contest. It's all there.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. Can you do two more minutes on the other side?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's come back because you kind of got cut off. Jeffrey R. Smith, one of the premier experts in the world, author, documentary filmmaker, researcher, testifies to governments all over the planet about GMO foods, toxins in food, the melamine in the milk, the plastic estrogen mimicking, endocrine disruptors. He'll be joining us in about 3 minutes. But I wanted to hold Paris over because I had him on for an hour and hardly plugged the new album, Acid Reflex. And again, a great social commentary, very thought-provoking. You may not even agree with it all, but the point is that it's not establishment propaganda milk toast. And he also has a golden ticket prize in the new album out in stores everywhere. You can also hear it online, but the contest is there for scholarships. So I briefly wanted to have Paris finish up telling folks about that. Paris?
Yes. What it is, and I appreciate it, Alex, it's 3 chances to win $10,000 towards higher education or housing. Those are the specific stipulations with the prize, and it's only available in CD form in the physical CD that you can buy at retail. So, or through Amazon or Best Buy. Amazon and Best Buy are your best bets, even more so than Gorilla Funk because we run out of them pretty quickly. I'm sure I'm out of them now, as a matter of fact, as a result of being on your show. But it is a those prizes are transferable too. That's the other thing. So if you're not interested in going to college, but a college age teen that's thinking about it, then you can give them the gift. But it's 3 chances to win $10,000. And in this environment, man, everybody, I'm sure, needs a leg up.
By the way, I'm watching the video for the first time. I'm a big fan, but I've just been so busy I hadn't seen it yet. Of Acid Reflux, we're playing a little clip of it on PrisonPlanet.tv on screen right now, and it looks really good. And this looks like the director or the animator of the guy that did big video for some other folks right before the election in 2006. Is this the same director of the Eminem video?
No. You're thinking about Ian Inaba and Guerrilla News Network. No, this is not them, although I have worked with them in the past, and I narrated that Aftermath 9/11 movie of theirs. No, this is a guy named Corey Shaw, from a company called Build Destroy down in L.A., does world-class work. I mean, this video is...
Oh, this blows away the Eminem video. I mean, I'm watching this, and it is awesome.
And it's painfully expensive. So, Everybody go buy a copy of Acid Reflex ASAP and support independent media.
And I mean, listen, since some of this came out on air, since you mentioned it, I'm really honored that you offered to put me on the Universal label, and I was just looking at the contracts. They were a great deal, best deal I've ever been offered, and I just didn't even – I was trying to finish something, having a new baby. I know it didn't matter, but I wanted to – since I couldn't talk to you behind the scenes, I wanted to apologize for not getting on the ball with that. But I'll work on that, Paris, and I've been honored to talk to you. Everybody get Acid Reflex, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Take care.
All right. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, great guy. Look, I trust Paris, but I'm a little bit scared of Universal. and that's just one of the many offers I've had. And he brought it up earlier, so I went ahead and talked about it. I mean, I've probably had 60, 70 offers in the last 10 years. I mean, I have been in the office, in the big glistening building in L.A., offered a radio show to be as big as Rush Limbaugh, with the contract in front of me. But in that case, I had to be controlled what I said, and I said no. With the Paris thing, whatever I wanted, say whatever I wanted, and I knew it would put it, you know, really out there in a big way. And I'd try some other distributions or another outfit who's a lot smaller, and that was all right. It's just that then I can't put them out for free. I can't say make copies. I can't leave it up on Google Video. And so I, you know, turn down tens of millions of dollars. That's just how it works here, folks. And then I get screamed at and yelled at for trying to sell a few thousand copies myself to be able to maybe make a film. And the films do lose money. I pay for stuff with advertising, and I pay for it, you know, a few other ways. I got a small inheritance a few years ago. I really want to know. Side issue, but it doesn't burn me. It doesn't get in my craw. I feel sorry for people that have no idea how many deals I've turned down and what I've turned down. You have no idea, folks. I mean, most people say they wouldn't sell out, and I'm not saying that would be that if I did it with Paris. It's just that I can't, even if something might have some of that involved or might lead down a road, because to me, the fact that I've put out 21 films, the fact that I've made 20 myself and I've made 19 and produced two. No, I've made 20 and produced two. The fact that they reach hundreds of millions online for free that we can track, that is what I want instead of money. That's what I want. And the death threats and everything that come with it. And that would have all pretty much ended if I did that. So it wasn't selling out that I refused, because whatever I wanted I could say. It was that it would be a sellout because the video wouldn't be available everywhere. But that's Universal's end. I shouldn't even be getting into it, but he brought it up on air, so cat's out of the bag on that. I'm actually a pretty darn good guy. It's the whole point here, folks. I mean, I don't know anybody else, even in this movement. I won't take questionable advertising. I won't be involved in any of this stuff, because it doesn't mean anything to me. Who I am is what is valuable, what I stand for, what I believe in. I mean, I know they've approached alternative news people, alternative health people, wanting to buy them out. And I know a lot of people out there have said no, because, you know, they're not going to be involved in poisoning children, but a lot of people will sell out, and that's why we've seen a lot of these things happen. But that's a side issue there separately. Paris is somebody who never sold out and has made it big repeatedly. All right, I apologize to Jeffrey R. Smith for making him hold 5 minutes. We're really honored to have him, and I've got his bio here, but I hate to make folks talk about themselves, but it's better if you just describe yourself and introduce yourself. We carry some of your amazing books and videos, Seeds of Deception, Genetically Engineered Foods by Jeffrey M. Smith. Keep calling him R. Smith. I'm out of my mind today. And Genetic Roulette, also, and the GMO DVD film and audio CD trilogy, all available at InfoWars.com. I hope you'll support us and support him by going to InfoWars.com and getting those. Jeffrey M. Smith, good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much, Alex. Great to be here.
Good to have you here. You know, I never ask you this. Have you ever been approached to sell out?
No, I haven't. I've often thought if Monsanto is willing to give me millions of dollars to stop talking about them, I could just funnel that into anti-GMO activities and maybe I'd sell out. But no, I have never been asked to sell out in any form.
Mm. Well, that's when you know the New World Order's real, buddy, when they come at you over and over again.
So far, I protected myself. In fact, I knew that other people that had written books before I published Seeds of Deception, some friends of mine published a book against the grain. They were about to publish it, and 3 days before it came off the printer, a threatening letter from Monsanto's attorney forced the publisher to stop the presses and cancel the publication. So they were eventually able to print it somewhere else, but I decided to turn down an offer by a publisher to publish my books, so that I could publish it myself, because I knew that they couldn't stop me.
See,
I also didn't let them. Yeah,
that's why I haven't gone with big film production companies that have wanted to bring in professional teams and all those folks and do TV series and a bunch of other stuff folks don't know about. Because exactly, by signing on to that, then it brings other people into control, and then you could lose control.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have been wanting to option my first book, Seeds of Deception, for a film, but I'm very cautious about, you know, losing the control, because they might just flip it so that it may make Monsanto out to be benevolent.
Well, that happened to Jesse Ventura. I think he got like $3 million to do a year TV show on MSNBC. It was a 3-year contract, a couple million a year. I'm going from memory here, what he told me in the car, and he's also talked about it here on air some, but when he was here visiting us, and they didn't tell him, you know, it had golden handcuffs in there, but he didn't, and they said right after he signed it, it's like, all right, now you're out of the game for the war we're about to have. And they just basically bought his contract out, and he sat there for 3 years. And then that's why he finally now was able to go public in the last year and a half, because that contract was up, saying he could do no other media. So, I mean, they do it.
Yes, it's true. What I do is I try, like you, getting information out there on YouTube and on my website. In fact, just 4 weeks ago, I got an email from India saying that they found that the genetically engineered BT cotton is causing massive deaths and reproductive failures in buffalo and cows, and that hundreds or thousands of people in the region who are touching the cotton that's genetically engineered to produce this toxic pesticide are developing allergic reactions like itching.
Okay.
So what I did is I said to them, please, let's document this. Let's get it videotaped. And so we were able to raise money to get an investigative team in there with a video camera and two veterinarians and a reporter and a project leader, so that will be able to be put out for everyone to see what's really happening there.
Absolutely. Now let's go back, and I'm really going to try to give you the floor, so just you're going to be running here. What you think is most important, the melamine, the estrogen-mimicking endocrine disruptors in the plastics, the GMO, the India situation, I mean, because you really are one of the leading experts. Tell folks who you are. Then about some of your books and videos that we have available on InfoWars.com and also on your own site. Give folks that. And then you've got the floor, sir, whatever you think's most important to tell people, because this is a public service announcement is what this is in the truest sense, so people have a chance to know what's in their food, in their water, and ways to try to protect themselves.
Great. Well, my expertise is really on the genetically engineered foods and crops. That's where you take genes from one species and you force them into the DNA of other species, causing massive collateral damage, in fact, in the DNA and lots of unpredicted side effects. Now, these were originally introduced in our food supply widely in 1996, and that was because the first Bush administration believed that genetically engineered foods, largely produced from the Monsanto company, would increase U.S. exports. And what happened was they told the FDA to promote the biotechnology industry. The FDA then created a new position for Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney and later Monsanto's vice president, to be in charge of policy. The policy came out with a blatant lie, claiming that the agency wasn't aware of any information showing that GMOs were significantly different. GMOs means genetically modified organisms. As a result of that lie, they said no safety studies are necessary. Monsanto and others don't even have to tell the FDA in order to put these foods on the market. Well, we know now, 7 years after that policy came out in 1999, 44,000 internal secret memos from the FDA were made public because of a lawsuit. It turns out the overwhelming consensus among the FDA's own scientists were, in fact, that genetically engineered foods could create allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems, that it was different from normal foods, and that, in fact, the scientists were appalled that it was going to be put on the market quickly and had urged their superiors, like Michael Taylor, to require long-term safety studies. Now, I'll footnote this by saying Michael Taylor is now on the Obama transition team overseeing agriculture, and that concerns me, although hopefully he's reformed. But what's happened since then, GMOs have been out on the market since 1996. There's now 8 commercialized genetically engineered food crops. We'll go over them in a minute. And what I did is, in my second book, Genetic Roulette, I documented, with the help of more than 30 scientists, all of the known health risks of GMOs. And we've linked GMOs to thousands of toxic and allergic reactions in humans, thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock, and damage to virtually every organ and every system studied in animals. And that came out last year, but last month, two government studies came out, which I blogged about on my Huffington Post blog, and it turns out an Austrian government commission study showed that when parent mice were fed genetically engineered corn, which is currently approved on our diet, that it had a reduction in the number of offspring and in the health of the offspring as judged by the weight of the offspring. So it caused a level of infertility and damage in the next generation. And the Italian government commissioned a study, which also came out last month, showing that the corn creates an immune response, suggesting that it might create allergies or inflammatory responses or immune responses in humans. So we continue to pile on information showing that genetically engineered foods are unsafe. Now, I realize I didn't really talk about myself. Now I can talk about myself in the context of my work. I've been working on genetically engineered foods for about a dozen years. I worked at a GMO detection laboratory as a vice president of marketing. I ran for U.S. Congress to raise the awareness of the issue. I've published Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette. I have a film out which is available online for free called Your Milk on Drugs, Just Say No. Another one called Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals. And I've been traveling to about 30 countries, counseling senior political leaders, speaking to the media and the public about the dangers. And more recently, my Institute for Responsible Technology has put together what's called the Campaign for Healthier Eating in America. It's a campaign designed to achieve the consumer rejection tipping point of genetically engineered foods in the United States, and we think we can do this before the end of 2009. Now, a tipping point is something where we turn the use of the genetically engineered ingredient into a marketing liability, forcing food companies to take it out of their products or face reduced sales. Now, this happened with bovine growth hormone, genetically modified drug inserted into cows to increase milk supply. We had a kind of a tipping point against RBGH by consumers because of the obvious health dangers, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And that occurred about 2.5 years ago. And since then, more and more dairies and retail stores and chains have taken out of their products. The most recent one to take it out was Subway. They announced it 2 weeks ago. Walmart earlier this year. Starbucks the end of last year. Kroger in February.
Even
about 40 of the top. Yeah.
Even Borden's is now. I mean, you can't hardly find the growth hormone milk now. So this is one area where we're having massive victories against these global crime cartels. This is so exciting what's happening. So we're having victories. Consumers can vote.
Absolutely. In fact, our organization was part of the group of organizations that engineered this tipping point. It wasn't just random. We started educating people about the health risks of the bovine growth hormone. The milk itself has more pus. It has more antibiotics. It has more growth hormone. It also has more of a hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1, which in high levels in humans is linked to cancer and high rates of fraternal twins. And it's in much, much higher levels in the milk that comes from these treated cows.
And that's why we see all these twins suddenly everywhere.
Yeah, in fact, there was a study that came out in the Journal of Reproductive Medicine where they compared the fraternal twin rate in the United States to the U.K. Now, the U.K., they banned the use of bovine growth hormone. In fact, it's banned in most industrialized countries, in all of Europe, Canada, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. But it was put through in the United States when Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney, was in charge of policy. It was a Monsanto drug until they sold it off to Eli Lilly this fall because they saw the writing on the wall that it was going down. But we know that the white paper that Michael Taylor wrote while he was the deputy commissioner of policy stated that not only were they not going to require labeling of dairy products that contained RBGH, he was even suggesting that if some dairy were to label it as RBGH-free, they should also put the disclaimer that according to the FDA, there's no difference.
Well, they tried to threaten dairies. They tried to threaten dairies, as you know, to stop doing that with a bluff.
Yes.
Just like
there's something going on in Kansas about that.
All right, stay there. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. But the key here is with the estrogen hormones in the mimickers in the milk, in the plastic, we can have a tipping point. We can have a tipping point on the melamine, on all of it. We'll be right back.
I hear the train coming.
Jeffrey M. Smith is our guest, one of the preeminent experts on GMOs, and not just GMO foods, but the policies around the world and the fight against them. Overwhelmingly, in every poll, it's 85, 95, 99, some polls against these. People know they're bad, especially the cross-species, genetically modified organisms where they put cockroach genes in tomatoes, or for some reason they use cockroaches, one of their favorites, is such old genetics, or in salmon. I mean, pig genes, human genes in pigs, approving cloned milk, approving cloned animals, milk from cloned animals. The list just goes on and on. We're going to go back to him in a moment. I hope that you will go to InfoWars.com and click on the secure online video and bookstore shopping cart and get Seeds of Deception, Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey Smith, exposing industry and government lies about the safety of genetically engineered foods you're eating. Seeds of Deception, exposing expose by Jeffrey M. Smith, documents significant health dangers of genetically modified GM foods and the intense industry influence of political corruption. These are well done, like textbooks, but beautiful color pages. I mean, just lavish, very easy to understand, but all the scientific data. They have the we have a Deadly Gamble combo that has the two books and the two films with the audio CD. In fact, for what is it, $19.95, we have the GMO Trilogy DVD CD set. That's probably the best deal, and most people don't read. They watch things. Three-disc set that explains why GMOs, genetically modified organisms, threaten your health, the environment, and future generations. Give this Christmas instead of a GMO fruitcake or GMO cotton shirt that has got all sorts of poisons leaching into you. I mean, seriously, folks, go to InfoWars.com and support the alternative media. But more importantly, educate yourself, your friends and family. Learn how to identify these provenly very dangerous creations that we're eating and consuming and wearing at InfoWars.com. Genetic Roulette, the GMO Trilogy, and the Deadly Gamble Combo with all of them in it. And then, of course, Seeds of Deception. This is a short segment, but let's continue, sir, with where you left off about tipping points. We're having victory after victory worldwide when we're actually able to reach out and educate the public. This is very encouraging.
Absolutely. With genetically modified foods, the tipping point of consumer rejection in Europe happened in April of 1999 because there is high-profile media coverage on the food safety aspects of GMOs. As a result, within a single week, virtually every major food company committed to stop using GM ingredients for their European brands. So the tipping point caused a swift rejection of GMOs there. Now, what's needed here in order to create the tipping point are two fundamental pieces. The first is knowledge of the health dangers of GMOs, and the second is information on how to avoid them. So we have a new non-GMO shopping guide, and I'll be happy to link that over to InfoWars. I'll deal with that after the show.
No, plug your site. Plug your site. People should buy it right now. Plug it.
Okay, they can. It's actually free to look at, and you can also buy it at cost in bundles of 50, so you can give it out to your friends.
Good, so it's free online where you can print it off, but I recommend buying it in bundles. That saves the work and the time, yes.
Yes, so responsibletechnology.org, responsibletechnology.org. You can go to our shopping guide, the non-GMO shopping guide. You can look at it online. You can print it out. But we also we can ship it. We recommend getting these brochures that also talk about the GMO health risks. When you give them out together, the health risks brochures tells people why to avoid GMOs, and the non-GMO shopping guide tells people how.
Very simple. Very simple. Only 14 pages long. Very well done. Everybody should get these. Go ahead.
And what it does is we're asking doctors to give it out as patient education materials. We're asking religions to give it out to their congregations. Parent-teacher organizations to give it out to children so that all the parents know what to buy. And also it's being made available for free through natural food stores as well.
And there's a new film, out available, The World According to Monsanto. We're going to be back in 1 minute, or 70 seconds to be precise, with Jeffrey M. Smith. And let's talk about this, Your Milk on Drugs, Just Say No, with our guest when we get back in 1 minute. The fourth and final hour, straight ahead. Strap yourselves in.
We'll be right back.
with Jeffrey N. Smith. Jeffrey, let's get into this incredible new film, and then let's get into a wide spectrum of just how bad GMO is, and then the melamine and the hormones and the estrogen endocrine disruptors that are in many types of plastic, and how it's being changed worldwide, but we haven't reached the tipping point here yet. But this new film, tell us about The World According to Monsanto.
Well, this is an amazing film. I think that if this film was widely seen in the United States, the tipping point would follow soon after. So we're actually recommending for individuals to host home showing parties and to host free public showings. And we have handout materials that you can give to people after they see this film, because the level of outrage and the level of motivation to be anti-GMO campaigner is greater in the 30 minutes after seeing the film, The World According to Monsanto, than any time in a person's life. It shows, first of all, the background of this company, Monsanto, whose intention is to replace nature with its genetically engineered, patented creation.
And they brag. I mean, tell the listeners, they brag that they mean to take everything over, so then we don't have a choice.
No, it's absolutely true. I talked to someone who had come back in 1999 from a conference where Arthur Andersen Consulting, who had been Monsanto's consultant, they were also Enron's consultant, of course, they had bragged about that. They had worked with the Monsanto executives, first asking them to describe their ideal future in 15 to 20 years. And the executives described a world in which 100% of all commercial seeds in the world were genetically engineered and patented. And Andersen Consulting worked backwards from that goal to create the strategy and tactics to achieve it. And so their intention is to replace our food with nature. Now, I've talked to a number of people who used to work at Monsanto. One person I spoke to this year, he said about the bovine growth hormone that changes our milk. He said the three scientists that he talked to who were doing the actual food safety studies on the drug themselves switched to organic milk, which doesn't allow the drug, because they were concerned about the potential influence on their health of increased levels of IGF-1, which is linked to cancer. He also told me that other scientists were indicating that they had found adverse effects of feeding their genetically engineered crops to rodents, I don't know if it was mice or rats, and were trying to figure out how to describe it in such a way that the adverse impacts were not apparent to anyone who might look at the study. And another person told me that he was originally recruited to go to Monsanto by looking at documents that were done by the former CEO, Robert Shapiro of Monsanto, that glowed about the positive impacts of genetic engineering for health and feeding the world and all that. So he decided to take the job, and when he was in St. Louis, he actually stood up at a meeting of all these new recruits and said, and describe all these great things that Robert Shapiro wanted for the world and how great it was that they were working for genetic engineering. He was pulled aside after the meeting by a vice president of Monsanto. And he told me that the vice president said to him, "Now, wait a minute. What Robert Shapiro says is one thing. What we do is something else. He's the face man who tells a story. We don't even understand what he's talking about. We're here to make money." Then he discovered that the genetically engineered cotton that was being fed to the dairy cows down the street from him, that was from Monsanto's field trials, that it had a potentially dangerous protein that had been the result of this kind of random, primitive way that they genetically engineer crops. He tried to complain and say this could be endangering the cows and the food supply, and no one in the company listened. Instead, they ostracized him. He tried to blow the whistle to government officials in California, to university professors. No one listened to him, so he left the company saying he's not going to be part of this disaster.
And that's covered in the film. Long segment coming up, plenty of time to get into this. And the big key here is, and we'll talk to Jeffrey M. Smith about this when we get back, is this is a fight for our lives. There are hundreds of GMO foods, but what, 8 or 9 big main staple crop ones? They're about to go into hundreds and hundreds where basically everything will be GMO. So we either stop it now, it's already been devastating to all of us, a lot of us are going to probably already die from this, or they take over.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We carry several other videos and books at Infowars.com, or you can call 888-253-3139. Two films and an audio CD for $19.95 in one package at Infowars.com. The Dangerous Gamble Combo also has all the two books and the three DVD CD package is also available at a deep discount at Infowars.com. I hope you'll go there and get it, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. But this new film, I don't have this new film, but I've seen clips of it online. Incredibly powerful story. Jeffrey M. Smith, tell folks where they can get it. I know MonsantoFilm.com, MonsantoFilm.com. People's lives depend on this. And I want to be clear here. I mean, I'm somebody who does my research. When I was first on air 13 years ago, I was more of a mainline, but only for about a year, kind of libertarian Ron Paul conservative, and I still am on many issues. But Ron Paul now is concerned about GMO because he's researching. He's a medical doctor. I, over the years, went and read the case studies. I had Nobel Prize winners on. I had executives and genetic engineers who headed up companies and made millions a year who where their rats would die, or their rats would be sterile, or the animals would get sick. And they would go say, we've got to go back and fix this. And they'd say, no. Because they fire with these gene guns in randomly and get mutations and then take the mutation they like and breed it. There's a lot of stuff, science. The point is, I have done, oh, probably 300, 400, 500 hours. I've probably read 20 books on the subject, probably watched 20, 30 films, hundreds of talks, had hundreds of guests on. Jeffrey M. Smith is one of the leading figures in fighting this and one of the most successful. He is very conservative, and he'll admit that. It's frankly far worse than he's even saying. Let me explain something to you. This is devastating us. There's a reason that 1 in 3 has cancer from 1 in 33 now, just 50 years ago. There's a reason diabetes is up several thousand percentage points. There's a reason the sperm count's down by 80-plus percent on average. There's a reason women are infertile. There's a reason melamine and all of this, separate from genetic engineering, is hurting us, and aspartame. And I will tell you it's by design. It's eugenics. I mean, it's like Bayer Pharmaceutical shipping out over a million doses of Factor VIII, every one of them filled with HIV and hepatitis A, B, and C, knowing it would kill everybody that got it or make them very ill. You know, that's on record now, even on MSNBC. This is real. You need to get this film. Jeffrey Smith, where's the best place for folks to get it?
Well, online, MonsantoFilm.com is the way to get it. It'll be on your site, I'm sure, very soon.
Yeah, I meant to carry it.
You'll be getting it soon from us. I think you put an order in today. But Monsanto, the world according to Monsanto, I've got to give you the backstory in this. I've been interviewed dozens of times by filmmakers. About 14 film crews have come to my little town in Iowa. And I got a call from this French woman, Marie-Monique Robin. And, you know, it was kind of standard for me to start giving filmmakers the background about GMOs and who to speak to and what the story was and the discrediting and the disruptions and the deceptions. It turns out she had been studying this so solidly for so many months, she knew more than any other filmmaker I had ever spoken with, more than most anti-GMO activists that I've seen around the world in my 30 countries of travel. She was so well prepared, and she was going to visit the people that I had just written about all over the world, all over the country. And so I was excited about this film. I actually went to Paris and saw the run-through of the film before it was done and arranged to have it available in the United States because I did not want it to be,
Yeah, it's very well done. It's very well done.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. It leaves people absolutely shaking. One reviewer said, it will freeze the blood in your vein. And what it does is it talks about the history of Monsanto and all of the dealings that they had with Agent Orange and the lies and the apparently rigged research.
And dumping toxic waste in poor neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And earlier I didn't finish my point, I never do. Just briefly, what I'm saying is I didn't believe that GMO was bad. I bought the propaganda that it was going to save everybody and feed the world, when in truth it actually destroys farmers and is designed so they're dependent so agribusiness could take over. So my point is I really researched this and found out that I was wrong 13 years ago. But go ahead.
No, and it's exactly what happens with people is that there's so much money has been spent on convincing people that it's going to feed the world. When they realize how dangerous it is, that the average GM crop reduces yield, that it actually destroys farmers, it's quite a wake-up call. And this comes out in this beautiful film. We talked to someone from the EPA whose colleague was basically trashed when she discovered apparently rigged research by Monsanto. We talked to a whistleblower at the FDA who lost his job when he tried to get proper studies done on bovine growth hormone. It shows how Monsanto's claim that their Roundup herbicide is biodegradable was declared false and illegal by judges in two countries, how there's possible cancer effects that was being covered up about their herbicide. And each time when this is discovered, somehow Monsanto gets the upper hand and stifles the research and ends up booting out the researcher or keeping him quiet. Now, with GMOs, this is all a lead-up to GMOs, which is much worse than the Agent Orange, the DDT, the PCBs in Anniston, where they said they didn't want to lose a dollar of business, so they weren't going to inform the people locally that they were being poisoned year after year. But the GMOs is absolutely the worst. And the work that this movie does is makes it absolutely clear that it was political collusion, industry manipulation, lies and deception that allowed these very dangerous genetically engineered crops. In fact, there was one point where she's doing this rare interview with a former FDA probiotech manager, and he's trying to argue for the safety of GMOs, saying there's absolutely no question that these foods are safe, and then she pulls out from her own notes a 1991 memo in which he himself admitted that GMOs, that the genetic modification might have been responsible for a deadly epidemic in the 1980s that killed about 100 Americans and caused 5,000 to 10,000 to fall sick from a genetically engineered food supplement called L-tryptophan. And he was like humming and hawing. He just caught absolutely off guard, not realizing that this woman has done her studies, done her research. She also talks to Dr. Arpad Pusztai from Scotland. I think he's been on your show. He actually was fired from his job after 35 years and silenced with threats of a lawsuit when he found that genetically engineered crops are inherently dangerous and cause massive damage to rats that were fed a genetically engineered potato.
And by the way, he was the head guy. He was the head guy there.
Yeah, he was the guy that had been given $3 million grant by the UK government to create the ideal testing protocol for GMOs that was going to be instituted into EU law. And he had been studying it, you know, with a team of about 20 or 30 people in three different institutes. So he was like the leading person in the world doing the most official research on GMOs and was canned because he discovered that they were bad. Now, when he went public with his concerns, initially he was a hero at his prestigious institute, but then allegedly Monsanto called Clinton or someone at the White House, someone at the White House called Blair, and someone from the Prime Minister's office in the UK phoned the director of the institute where this guy worked, and the next morning he was fired from his job.
And by the way, he was a top genetic engineer. He told me on air several times he believed in it. He wanted it to work,
yeah,
but he couldn't engage
absolutely
in mass murder.
Absolutely. He was concerned because he realized that the potatoes that had caused such damage, and they caused potentially precancerous cell growth, smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system. I mean, this is after 10 days of eating a genetically engineered crop.
I mean,
he realized that if his potatoes had been submitted to the same flimsy, superficial, terrible research safety studies that had gotten other products on the market, the potatoes would have flown onto the market,
yep,
and assumed safe. And
I want to stop you.
Again.
I want to stop you. In 10 days in rats, in rodents, which they study because physiologically or the way their metabolic system works, they're the closest to humans, next to pigs, but rats are cheaper. And from the scientists I've talked to, that's not my opinion. That's a fact. That's why they test mice and rats and other rodents, guinea pigs, that in 10 days, devastating effects. I mean, this is, imagine, we're all eating other stuff like this right now.
You know, even, there are some studies that didn't get onto this World According to Monsanto. She got a lot of beautiful stuff on. But there was this woman, a senior scientist at the Russian National Academy of Sciences, who fed rats genetically engineered soy that we do eat, the mother rats, and more than half of the offspring died within 3 weeks, and compared to only 1 out of 10 death rate when the mothers were eating non-genetically engineered
soy. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand? We're eating this. This is deadly. That's why there's, I mean, I was talking to a medical doctor the other day, and she talked about how when she was going to the Albert Einstein Medical Institution, I talked to Harvard Medicals as well, you know, who were graduating 30, 40 years ago, they would, if there was a child in the ward that had cancer, it was like going to look at, you know, the last right whale. I mean, it was so rare that it was like, oh, my God. And now there's just kids all around me in my neighborhood dying, people dying everywhere. Oh, it's some, I mean, this is a Holocaust.
You know, it was interesting. This particular scientist, she was harassed. She was set up and attacked. She came to her office once, and there was a paper that had been burnt on her desk. She had samples stolen, and she was eventually taken off the ability to do any more GMO research because her director was pressured by his director. So another scientist at this institute went up to her and tried to comfort her by actually saying, well, maybe the genetically engineered soy will solve the overpopulation problem on the Earth.
Oh.
Which was supposed to comfort her. Now, another team in Italy...
Stop, sir. This is too... I've got to have you back next. This is too incredible, and we're running out of time. We've got 1 minute before this break ends, this segment. Specifically, the name of this lady, where this was. Oh, don't worry, the overpopulation, because I've actually found, sir, it's all by design. I know you don't go that far. You stick with the, you know, this area. But go, it always comes up. Go back to that little story, a little more specifics.
Sure. All right. Her name is Dr. Irina Ermakova. And there was some interesting things about her research. She had done this research three times when she fed mother rat genetically engineered soy. And each time, there's a huge death rate and also smaller offspring, really runt-like offspring. And a very interesting twist happened after she did her three research studies, which I'll tell you about after the break.
What I'm going to do, because in the interest of time, I'm going to skip this break for the internet listeners and video, folks watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, and we'll come back and get into all the other areas when we return. Time is too valuable. Stay with us.
Drinking a chlorophyll.
All right, I'm going to go back to Smith. Jeffrey, we're on the web. We're not on the AM and FM for this 3 minute break, but later the web ends up being bigger than the one shot radio show, so I don't want to miss any time on this. Flesh out the rest of her story and then we'll come back. Jeffrey,
yep. To these rats, and each time they had over 50% average death rate and a much smaller offspring. Now, after three times, spontaneously and coincidentally, the clinic itself, the facility that she worked at, switched over to a rat feed that was all genetically soy-based. So it was all GM soy in the rat feed. So she couldn't do any more studies because she had no controls. All of the rats in the facility were being fed GM soy. But after 2 months, she went to her colleagues and said, in your studies, which were not GM-related, what is the offspring mortality rate? It had skyrocketed facility-wide to 56.3%. Now, this means that it wasn't just her particular batch of GM soy that was causing this problem. It was generic problem with GM soy in general. And so this demonstrates that this could be happening to us. Now, we have additional studies.
Hold on. Could be. I mean, they study rats with drugs and chemicals and GMO because they're so similar to us with their whole metabolic system. And I mean, you just had the Austrian study last week, totally separate, another GMO. Well, that was corn, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was actually the reproductive study last week was a corn that was not only producing its own pesticide, but was also Roundup ready, meaning it was designed not to
die. There's no doubt. This has to stop now. I mean, I don't mean to get emotional here, but I'm fighting to not have my kids eat this, and I'm not a wealthy person, but I'm middle class, and it's very expensive for me. Poor families, as you know, can't afford this.
Well, what I've in our shopping guide, we show that you can even go and buy, you know, non-organic, regular stuff off the supermarket shelves if you read the ingredients and you avoid the offspring of soy, corn, cotton, and canola, the four major GM crops.
Because those are the really deadly ones.
Well, those are the ones that are everywhere. Now, unfortunately, this year and probably this month, for the first time, our sugar supply has been contaminated.
Okay, let's come back to the full audience. Let's go back to the eugenics. It's okay, honey, if 56% of the rats are sterile and a bunch of them are dying when we feed them this. The Earth's got too many people. Specifically, where was she when that was done?
I'm sorry, where was...
You were telling the story of him coming to the scientist and saying, don't worry if it's killing the, you know, making the rats sick and sterile. We need to get rid of the people.
Right.
I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, she told me this. We had just given a presentation together at the European Parliament, and she was really frustrated because she couldn't do any more studies. Someone finally came to her and said, okay, you can do GMO studies if you sign this contract that says you can't talk about your research for at least 3 years, and we can replace any of your cohorts with any of our chosen people, and you have no choice about it. So she couldn't sign that because it was basically signing away all of her independence. But So she found out that not only were the offspring dying, but she took the offspring that survived and tried to mate those together, and they would not conceive. They never got pregnant.
Bioweapon.
So there was...
Go ahead.
It's interesting that another study in Italy also fed the same genetically engineered soy, which grows on 91% of all soy fields in the United States. They fed it to mice, and then they looked under an electron microscope at the testicles of the mice, and it turns out that there was damaged young sperm cells. Then they took parent mice, gave parent mice the genetically engineered soy, and had them mate together. Then they took out an embryo, a young embryo, or several of them, and looked at the DNA of the young embryo, and it was functioning differently compared to the DNA of embryos whose parents were fed normal genetically engineered soy. Now, when I went to the EU
stay
Parliament...
Stay there. We've got to come back. We've got to come back to the full audience and recap that. Here we go. Globalists are not nice guys, and we need to stop being nice guys right back to them. All right, finishing up, Jeffrey, I know it's a little bit skilted when I've got you behind the scenes talking when we come back. You were finishing up with these rats that had been bred together, that had been fed GMO. The embryos themselves were different genetics. Finish up with that, and then recap in any more specifics you've got about, she goes to them and they say, you know, she's distraught, and they say, don't worry, this will contribute to world overpopulation, which, of course, she was compartmentalized. She wasn't told that that was the whole point. I know you won't go that far. I will. I've made the film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. Then let's get into the $64 billion or trillion-dollar question. The fight is now. They are proliferating GMO into everything, and now is the time to stop them. Go ahead.
Absolutely. All right, let's just talk about the reproductive issues, because there's more about reproduction and the failure of animals who've been fed GMOs to reproduce. It's actually not just in the laboratory. We're seeing it among livestock, and I'll show you. I'll tie it all together right now. So we left off with Irina Ermakova. It was at the EU Parliament offices. We had just given a talk, and she tells me that she can't do any more studies because she's been taken off the job, and that someone tried to comfort her, saying that maybe it'll solve the overpopulation problem. Now, at that conference, she also showed a slide of testicles of rats that were fed genetically engineered soy and compared to the testicles of rats that were fed regular soy. The testicles of rats that were fed regular soy were pink. Those that were fed GM soy were blue, a completely different color. She showed slides of the cells. They were completely different structure. In mice in Italy that were fed genetically engineered soy from a different group, they looked under an electron microscope and found damage in the small in the young sperm cells associated with the mice that were fed genetically engineered soy. They looked into the DNA or the cells of the embryos from the offspring of mice that were fed GM soy, and they functioned differently. There's a temporary disruption in the production of RNA from the DNA in these mice compared to when the mothers and fathers were fed non-GM soy. Now we fast forward to last month, and mice that were fed corn that was genetically engineered also showed infertility issues and damage in the offspring. Now we look at what's happened in Iowa and around the world, around the country, a few years ago, when certain varieties of genetically engineered corn appeared to be causing sterility in pigs and cows. I talked to one farmer, Jerry Roseman, and he said, you know, he tried everything, couldn't figure out what was going on, and then he found some other people that also had sterility in their pigs, and it turns out they were feeding the same genetically engineered corn. So he went to the company, Garst, and said, your corn, they went as a group to all three of them, and said, your corn may be causing our pigs to become sterile. So they gave him a sample of corn, and the Garst never got back to him. So they had one of the Garst reps call the headquarters, And he said, you're never going to believe this, Jeffrey. Jerry, they lost your sample. So they claimed that they lost the sample. And so Jerry called him back and said, don't worry. I've been saving 20,000 bushels of corn to do research on. You're welcome to come to get more. And they never did. When he hit the papers a year later, Garst immediately went on television and the radio and papers and said, we've done our studies and it wasn't the corn. The same studies that supposedly on this missing sample. Every time it was broadcast on radio, television, or newspaper or magazine, Jerry would get more calls from more farmers that said, you know, I'm having the same problem. No one was willing to do the research on his corn to see if that was causing the problem. In fact, supposedly a USDA or a university group was going to get together and try and create a study that was specifically designed to disprove that it was the corn because they weren't even going to test his corn. Well, he had to do his own study, and he took his own corn and he fed it to his cows and his bulls, and immediately they got sterile also. And there's more.
this is the biggest story. Let's come back in our final segment with you, Jeffrey Smith, and again talk about the proliferation of all of these systems and how we stop it. And of course, humans are also becoming sterile or infertile, right in line with the other mammals that are eating this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is by design, make no mistake. I'm going to talk to him behind scenes right now. Hey, Jeffrey?
Yes?
We're still on the internet, but I just wanted to have I do this now with total transparency on the show. You know, I know we cut you short today because we had some producer issues with some mix-ups as we tend to have had Murphy's Law with you normally instead of anybody else. So you were going to be on for 2 hours, and it was an hour and a half. I got behind on some news I've got to cover, so I'm going to let you go a little bit after 40 after. I know you're very prestigious and very, very busy, but I would like to really give you a chance to roll, and I think I've been doing a decent job of trying to control myself, not butting in. This is so riveting and so earth-shaking and so important. Thank you. Do you have your book in front of you? Because I would like to set you up again for an hour and a half, but really keep you to an hour and a half, not cut your time next week or the week after next before Christmas. Do you have some time?
It's possible. I'm leaving for India on the 16th, so I do have some time at the end of next week.
Yeah, let's not wait. Do you have your book in front of you? How about, let me see, who do I have on? I have somebody on not next Friday. What about Friday again? I do have somebody on the similar subject Thursday. What about Friday?
Friday the 12th.
Yes, sir. And I'm live from 11 to 3 Central, noon to 4 Eastern.
All right. I'm free Friday the 12th.
Okay. What time would you like to do it?
You pick the best time and I'll be there.
What time zone are you in?
I'm in Central.
Okay.
11 works because we've never done 11, so maybe a different audience. Than we
it is, so we have different stations. Yeah. Okay, let's do an hour and a half then. Let's go from 11:20 to 12:50.
All right.
11:20 to 12:50. Jeff Smith. Will you get that in the book? Because my producer's out right now. I've got John in there running the show and Paul running the show. They'll get that in there. Okay. When we come back, I want to ask you the big question, so don't start answering it now.
All right.
For humanity, I mean, they get, you know, poor immigrants and foster children and people that really don't know what's happening. But frankly, I mean, I would almost do it for humanity, and I don't have some bleeding heart syndrome. This is so evil. You know, as a warrior, as a man, I have this desire, this inbred genetics to defend the tribe, my human species. I know that I would probably, and I've never been in a medical test, but I guess you'd have to do it. Because humans have a longer span than rats, obviously one of the main reasons they use rodents because the span's so much quicker to look at it, and it's similar to humans, but quicker. We need to have people, but I guess you can't do it because it would have to be young and they haven't consented. How do we do human studies of this? I know we can do studies with populations that have been eating GMO versus those that haven't, but then they'll try to muck them up and claim it's not. Well, answer that question because we need human studies. I know we have a lot of human data. But because it hasn't been controlled, they can try to poo-poo it, but there's obviously no doubt. So we're going to ask that question now, and then the big issue of stopping them now at the gates. You know, only the four staples right now have this. They're trying to move into everything. Here we go.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913. made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones live forever.
I would volunteer.
Grave digger.
For
when you dig my
a study.
Would you make a shallow
of eating GMO for so several years and watching my sperm count drop to nothing. I've seen the studies, testicles shriveling, everything. People can laugh at that. This is life and death, folks. This isn't a game. You can't do it with the young because they can't opt in. How do we do controlled studies on humans? I know there are volunteers who want to save humanity from this. The genetics of sterilization of mammals is getting out in the open air, cross species naturally into other food crops, as you know, Jeffrey. Answering those questions, how do we get human studies? What human data do we have from populations that have been eating GMO? The West is where the sperm counts are dropping where we do eat it. I mean, I think that's evidence right there. But, I mean, you understand the wide question.
Right. There's actually three or four questions embedded in that. First of all, what kind of evidence do we have from human studies that have already been done? And there's only been one human feeding study, and it showed that genes that are inserted into genetically engineered soy, in this case, transferred into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continue to produce these genetically engineered proteins long after the person had stopped eating the GM soybean. Now, this means that if we eat genetically engineered corn chips, genetically engineered to produce a pesticide called BT, if that also were to transfer to our bacteria inside our intestines, it might turn it into living pesticide factories, possibly for the rest of our lives. Now, if it does disrupt the gut bacteria, which is involved in immune defense and digestion and protecting against intrusions into the blood, then we would end up seeing digestive problems, allergies, immune problems, gut leaky gut, and other things, which is what we're seeing. When I give talks to medical groups, they say, you know, we've seen a lot of gastrointestinal problems. Maybe this gene transfer.
Quick example, Crohn's didn't exist 50 years ago. Now it's prolific. Somebody in my office has got it. Every time they eat GMO, they have to only eat at Whole Foods. Every time they don't eat GMO, they have to go to the hospital. Just people's guts are disintegrating, and they use Crohn's and other names as catch-alls.
So it certainly could be GMO-related. Now, in terms of what's been happening to the population associated with GMOs, there's very little surveillance. In fact, Health Canada said that they would actually do monitoring of the Canadian citizens to see if eating GMOs was going to cause problems. And within a year, they abandoned the study, saying it was too difficult. We do know that soon after GM soy was introduced to the UK, soy allergies skyrocketed by 50%. There's many reasons why that may be the case due to genetically engineered soy. Now, so we can't particularly look at the whole issues of the United States in terms of statistics. We see migraines going up. We see, you know, low birth weights going up. We see allergies going up. We see gastrointestinal problems going up. These certainly might have a contributor in the genetically engineered crops. But in terms of how do we actually do studies on GMOs with humans, we know when we put a drug on the market, there's a four-phase clinical trial. You do clinical trials. You do post-marketing surveillance. You do, you know, a sick population. You do a healthy population. There's a whole protocol. It's never been done with GMOs, and GMOs offer a special problem because it's not a particular chemical that's always the same when you test it. They are actually living organisms that change dramatically as a result of the process of genetic engineering, and so therefore the levels of toxins or allergens and whatnot might be completely different if it's grown in one climate versus another or picked at a different time, or happens to be a different subspecies within that particular plant. So you really can't do a properly controlled study with genetically engineered organisms. They typically grow it under ideal conditions. And then the other thing that they do is they isolate the ingredient that's been produced by the inserted gene and just use that in their animal feeding studies. But you see, the whole plant is different when you genetically engineer. 2 to 4% of the DNA is different. Hundreds or thousands of mutations are lined up and down the DNA, any one of which can cause a deadly toxin or carcinogen, and it's never tested for when they put these things on the market. So right now, we don't have a proper testing protocol, but what we do have is a bunch of false assumptions that allow these industry-funded studies that basically test nothing to be rubber-stamped by regulatory agencies around the world and then put into our food supply where it then, well, actually, first they put into the environment where it cross-pollinates and the self-propagating genetic All pollution right. can easily outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste. And then they put it in our food where they're feeding the products of this infant science to millions of people. So it's a huge uncontrolled experiment which can be devastating to the health and life of the population and maybe already has. And the way to get rid of it, the way to stop it, it turns out to be easier to stop than any of the many of the big problems we're facing. We think that as little as 5% of U.S. shoppers, U.S. consumers, 15 million people, conscientiously avoiding brands that can change GM ingredients, by avoiding them, it creates these products which carry no consumer benefit. There's no advantage to using GMOs by these food companies. If they see they're losing market share, we can easily get them to remove it.
Jeffrey,
but we need that many people.
Jeffrey, I'm going to let you go because, again, I got behind today. You have agreed graciously to join us coming up, and that is, of course, next Friday at 11:20 Central Standard Time for a little bit over an hour. And so we look forward, well, actually, it'll be about an hour and 30-minute interview to continue to break down the facts, giving people the sources. I would point people at Infowars.com in the Alex Jones Recommend sections of books and videos to get the GMO video and audio trilogy for 1995 and the other books that are excellent that you have written. So in summation, though, just spend about 2 minutes if you can, please, sir. Specifically explaining the latest numbers. I know they're always changing. How many staple crops have it, and then how they're trying to roll it out basically into everything. I mean, I've read even tea, even different essential oil plants, just basically strawberries. I mean, everything. And so this is a make it or break it. It's already at Armageddon level, and then they're about to go, you know, to Alpha Centauri's at warp speed.
Right. So there's 8 commercialized genetically engineered crops for food. The 4 major ones that have been in our diet for years and years are soy, corn, cottonseed, and canola oils. There's also Hawaiian papaya and a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash. Starting this year, just harvested, will be sugar from genetically engineered sugar beets, and also for the first time in our diet, white corn. It used to be just yellow corn, but a little bit of white corn has also been introduced this year. There's been between 100 and 200 different species, I've heard the number 173, different species that have been field trialed around the world, including 50,000 different field trials in the United States. Now, these are species that have been that are experimental, that have not yet been introduced into our food supply, that are awaiting approval. There's also genetically engineered salmon, that a company wants to introduce, and the FDA may fast-track rules that allow approvals of that salmon before Obama steps in. And there's also even a company that wants to introduce genetically engineered insects and eventually mosquitoes. And so imagine trying to do a recall there. Now, what we've identified with genetically engineered crops are a long list of derivatives, particularly of the soy and corn, that don't carry the name soy or corn in them, but you have to know that they're created primarily from soy or corn, like maltodextrin and dextrose and things. We've got that list on responsibletechnology.org. Sign up for the Campaign for Healthier Eating in America. You can either be a free member or you can be a donating member. You can get all sorts of information. You can sign up for a free syndicated monthly column, which you can also go onto my blog at Huffington Post. We want to keep people aware as this moves forward, not only with what to avoid, but what steps
All
people
right.
can take
yes, sir.
To prevent.
And I want folks to make a commitment because, you know, the social engineers know that we habitualize using a cell phone that radiates our brain, thousands of studies. We habitualize drinking out of cheap plastics with the endocrine disruptors leaching out of them. We habitualize ourselves to smoking. We habitualize ourselves to the GMO, which is far worse, as you know, the studies show, than even smoking. So of course, you're now trying to have GMO tobacco. So they are moving into every level. Now is the time. We have to habitualize. You know, it's like getting in shape. Not that I'm good at that. You have to totally commit to it and make it your life, or you can't just do it halfway. There are no half measures. This is the biggest issue out there overall for health, for our society, for our world, and this GMO revolution is so wild now and so dangerous. We've got to put the genie back in the bottle. And I just want to commend you and thank you for all your work. And we'll talk to you next Friday coming up in 7 days, sir.
Great. See you then, Alex.
Thank you. Take care. And by the way, I would add, folks, if you don't want to buy the DVD, The World According to Monsanto, it's on Google Video. It's on YouTube. So, but I would buy it from them and go to MonsantoFilm.com and just get this sucker. I'm not selling it. We just bought some. We will be soon. But so later you can get it at InfoWars.com. You're watching this on, you know, PrisonPlanet.tv in a few weeks. And we need money. I mean, you send us money, you buy our videos, our books, our materials, we'll just have more guests on and warn people and do more radio shows and do everything we can here to fight it. Let me tell you, I feel good fighting the New World Order. I feel really good fighting the New World Order. On PrisonPlanet.tv, I will give you the image of Tarpley. He'll be with us the last 12 minutes or so, popping in to finish up on the Mubai situation. He was with us for the first hour or so today. That's about to rebroadcast at InfoWars.com, or restream, retransmit. One of my pet peeves is people calling internet broadcasting, which is wonderful and a revolution, broadcasting. Now, that's transmitting. We're transmitting there, broadcasting on AM and FM, shortwave. But I wanted to tell you about two sponsors that also make this show possible. Sodium fluoride, mercury, lead, all these toxins in the water supplies, the pesticides, the herbicides, the motor oil, the runoff, it's all there. And the place to check out is ecolablue.com. ecolablue.com. You've heard Willie Nelson and everybody else talk about these systems. It is an atmospheric water generator for the home. We have one here in our office, and we've been loving it for months. And then someone, when we were out for 3 days on Thanksgiving, turned it off. So that's why I'm not drinking it now. You've got to recycle it once you start it back up, as we did the other day. It'll be ready tomorrow because it's got carbon filters. And once you restart it, you got to run a few gallons through it. But they do 7.5 gallons a day, very easy to use. They have 5 filters inside of it. It's just absolutely amazing, very easy to use, grabs water out of the air, no fluoride, no nothing, 866-585-4044. This isn't out of some river with 100 cities up river with the sewage running into it. This is out of the air, then through 5 filters, 866-585-4044 or ecolablue.com, 866-585-4044. Check it out. Really exciting systems. Big banners up at InfoWars.com. And PrisonPlanet.com. And then, of course, eFoods Direct, the best storable food company in the nation, the longest continually operating company, the best prices, and it's so compact, freeze-dried and dehydrated in these cans, last 15-plus years in climate control, 10 years guaranteed, in an attic or a garage, non-climate controlled. Call them, get a free brochure, don't wait. eFoods, the letter eFoodsDirect.com. Check out the videos and audios they have on the site. Look at all their great food packages, 800-409-5633. And the best thing is they ship quickly, within just days. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. You'll never stand in the bread line if you have your own bread. This is so important to do to protect yourself with the depression coming on, the wars, the New World Order, just all of it, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. For the balance of the show, the 14 minutes or so we have left, Webster Griffin Tarpley for round two. We ran out of time. You know, we covered Obama. We covered the Queen taking over Canada today. Yes, it's in Reuters. We're not kidding. Showing she rules. When it finally comes down to her being thrown out, she says, "I rule." Boom. Parliament, you're gone. Huge. So when we rebroadcast coming up, you'll hear that the first hour. We got into Mumbai. You've got the floor. Break down why this is a clear intelligence operation.
Well, it's the Obama policy of bashing Pakistan, dividing it into 5 or 6 parts. Remember, Waziristan, Sindh, Punjab, Balochistan, Pashtunistan, and more and more. The immediate framework, the U.S.-Indian nuclear deal. So the U.S. has a nuclear alliance with India. On the other side, the urgency to get out there and stop the Pakistani-Chinese alliance, which is building up. You've also got...
That's right. They were getting friendly, making deals for the first time in decades, just magically. Oh.
So that's got to be stopped. The other thing is the Pakistani military, fed up with the constant Obama policy, because Obama's the one who demanded it, the bombing and killing of Pakistani civilians by these predator drones in the northwest area. I mean, imagine. Suppose they came around here and started killing people. You'd get your backup pretty soon. So the Pakistani military had cut the supply line at least once, saying, look, you want to get your truck convoy up into Afghanistan? We're stopping it. No trucks for the next 2 or 3 days. So this was a big shock for the Anglo-Americans and for NATO. And finally, Gates. Gates in position at the Pentagon. Now, I described...
Founder of Al-Qaeda.
Founder of Al-Qaeda, a part of the conspiracy to take the hostages in Iran, and part of the October surprise. So as dirty as can be. And this guy's now confirmed, right? This is the new face of hope and change is Robert Gates. Now, I would say it's five or six components in the Patsy operation, because this is obviously false flag. The British colonial power with British presence reported, people from Brixton Mosque, Finsbury Mosque, British prisons, Leeds, Yorkshire, whatever it is. The U.S., the CIA outposts in the federally administered tribal areas, recruiting patsies, recruiting terrorists there. The Israelis, big Israeli-India special relation, General Mizrahi's visit to Jammu and Kashmir, very, very... That's a little bit like Sharon going on the Temple Mount, something like this, right? Big provocation, get them all riled up. There's also the fact that the Israelis are apparently training Indian special forces, which may be why they did such a poor job. Then you get into the RAW, right, the RAW story, the Research and Analysis Wing, the Indian Intelligence Organization. Everybody knows the ISI. They've been demonized. U.S. media have never talked about the RAW, R-A-W. RAW deal is what you're going to get from them. And they're into going into Afghanistan, picking up crazies there, Mujahideen, whatever they are, Taliban fighters, and getting them into Pakistan so that they can essentially wage armed civil war against the Pakistani government. So those guys are terrorists, but not the way you'd normally think. Now, the RAW leads us then to this world of Hindu terrorism, and this is very, very big. U.S. media never interested in this stuff.
Happens every week, but you...
Happens every week.
But you never hear about it.
In particular, the guy that you're mentioning, right, I think this guy, Karkare. Karkare, the anti-terrorism boss of Mumbai, I think is a hero of our time.
Who busted a Hindu extremist group army captain really staging the last train bombing, blaming it on Muslims. Right. So he goes in there with his commanders. They all get killed in the first minutes.
It's clear that there were snipers who were given the specific task of eliminating Karkare and three, four, five of his closest associates.
Because he'd been on the news saying the government's staging the terror.
Saying in particular that this was being done through Hindu patsies, not Islamic, but Hindu patsies. This is a big thing. There's a whole world of Hindu terrorism that they want to deny.
And he's killed during the melee. Hold on. Let's continue. I'm going to skip this one.
Free yourself.
I'm skipping this one, too. Again, just for internet audience, and we'll come back and finish up. You've got 3 minutes to flesh out the head of anti-terrorism saying it was a government op in the days before, okay. And then they kill him.
And then we go back to Broca. Yeah. Okay. So this is Karkare. Now, he had been investigating the Maligan massacre. The Maligan massacre, 2006, 37 dead. And he had been saying, look, it's not clear that these were Muslims. It's not clear that these were Pakistanis at all. It looks to me more like it's this world of Hindu
terrorism. And he bossed the army
Hindu
captain.
Terrorism.
He bossed the army captain.
And the BJP candidate, the basically the shadow prime minister of the BJP, the Hindu nationalists, I guess, had come out saying, this guy should be fired. There were calls to fire him.
And he was getting
death
threats.
He was killed. Right. So now, in the middle of this event, it looks like there's a special team that has only one task, which is to kill him, because they knew that he would be in the front rank of the people doing something about it, whereas the other Indian forces, I mean,
now, I want to warn good cops. I want to warn good cops and good FBI, like John O'Neill, who they killed in 9/11 and threw in the building. Every time we see an op, even Waco, some cops exposing Clinton that had been state police exposing him, who'd gotten a BATF job, you see the BATF go in the window and they climb in and they shoot their own men. So they love to use operations to kill their own people inside the operation to tie up loose ends. Go ahead.
And this brings us to the world of where do you get Hindu terrorists? Again, this BJP is the governing party. They'll probably be back in power soon. But then there's this other thing called the RSS, Hindu extreme nationalists, racists, Hindu superiority
types. The ones
types.
That killed Gandhi because he wouldn't go to war with Muslims.
And I guess the shorthand for this would be Hindu fascism. And what we're getting, you see, Obama is attracting a kind of a fascist international made up of the lunatic Saakashvili, Polish and Ukrainian extremists, and now we're getting Hindu fascists becoming the great friends of the United States. And your future is going to be hostage to a bunch of Hindu fascists under the Indian-U.S. nuclear deal. And that's what this guy Karkare was a threat to that. Because he
they didn't just kill him. They killed four other chiefs.
His whole staff.
They wiped his whole team out in separate groups. They're all picked out and triple-tapped in the chest.
All right. So, therefore, the notion the Indian government says, we know who did it. It was Lashkar-e-Taiba. Well, that's a Muslim group, basically a patsy group operating in Pakistan.
And that's trying to kill the Pakistani government. They've been bombing them.
And they get tremendous support from the U.S. and the British. And that's also well known because that's part of
the... So why would Pakistan control a group that's trying to kill them?
And why would they do this at all? What does Pakistan...
Why, when they're doing peace overtures and have every reason to be friends with India?
And what they're trying to do is to say, look, let's build the oil pipeline from Iran to Pakistan to India.
All right, let's finish up.
And then we get a common interest.
We're coming back with where you see all this going. Here we go. Final segment. I'll be live this Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm back, of course, live next week. Rebroadcast starts in T-minus 5 minutes, 43 seconds. Webster Tarpley is going to be with me here this weekend until tomorrow, doing some interviews for the Obama film that we are making and about the financial collapse. We're going to go to interviews at the new office after this. One of the last shows here in the old office. You get to see both. We appreciate you being down here, Webster.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. And, of course, your book's available everywhere. In fact, before we end with where you see all this going, why they want to get the two countries fighting with each other to destabilize the whole region, your new book is available. We've already shown it in the earlier hour. And we've had a three-hour, 40-minute PrisonPlanet.tv show today. That'll be, if you missed any of it, it'll be posted for PrisonPlanet.tv. Members, by the way, get 5-plus months free right now. Here's the Japanese version of his new book, the cover of that. Let me see the Deutsch.
Oop, here's the Auf Deutsch. Oop, sofort.
Yeah, I won't put that phone number up. There we go. There you go. He had a sticky pad on there. And there is the Deutsch issue of his new book, The Postmodern Coup. We sell one of his books on Obama at Infowars.com. Okay, that said, Webster, you got about 3.5 minutes. Go ahead and finish up with where this is going.
Well, it's going to be a new phase of world confrontation. See, the Anglo-American empire is collapsing financially. Everybody can see this, right? What's going on in London and above all New York is a total financial collapse. We seem to be in a phase of deflation and strength of the dollar, but I think this is an illusion and it's only a passing phase. It's because a lot of people are trying to deleverage. They're trying to pay down debt, which is largely dollar-denominated debt.
Everybody's dumping their assets right now,
right?
So there's a glut of all commodities.
The hedge funds are in liquidation mode. Everybody's selling, selling, selling to try to get dollars to pay off debt so you don't go bankrupt. But with this $7 trillion and some odd injected, we can, I think, look forward to a phase of hyperinflation in 2009. In other words, we're going through a valley of deflation. We had hyperinflation already clearly beginning in July, August, with the oil price, up to 100.
We're now seeing the depression of Main Street and the real economy. There will now soon be an overlay of hyperinflation.
Right. So phase of deflation.
Hyperstagflation.
Actually, yes, exactly. The worst of both. Hyperinflationary depression, hyperstagflation. We're going to need a new term. You're exactly right. And that's what we should do. So the point is now, when the Anglo-American banking system and currency collapses, the entire Anglo-American ruling elite goes nuts. And that's what we saw with the Queen. The Queen is expressing that her oligarchy over there, not happy campers, they're going nuts because they've got Northern Rock, they've got Gordon Brown, Alistair Darling at the Exchequer, and Mervyn King at the Bank of England. They're trying to keep this thing together. They can't do it. So they say, we've got to have outside events.
And that's what Rand said, as you know, a month ago, and this was all over foreign press. Rand Corporation said, we need a war bigger than Iraq, bigger than Iran. We need something of world war proportions.
Right.
And Obama says, it's going to be Pakistan.
And remember that Brzezinski is the big power at Rand. In other words, if there's a leading ideologue of the Rand Corporation, it's big new
My
Brzezinski.
God, so they're going to, who knows what they're going to do.
So now look at what we've got. U.S., British, and Israel against the world was bad enough. But now it's U.S., Britain, Israel, plus India, most likely, plus Georgia. That's not much. But
and that's showing India never really got away from England. The crown is showing its power again.
Yeah, it's oligarchy. The oligarchy, unfortunately, is based in the religion. That's an unfortunate fact. And then the British occupation. But now, in addition to Georgia, Ukraine split, but Yushchenko wants to go with the U.S. and the British and the IMF and NATO. Poland, reliable NATO puppet. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And we're headed into a Polish missile crisis, and there will be an attempt to cut the Russian gas deliveries from Russia into Western Europe. They got to get an anti-Russian hysteria in Europe.
And that'll be blamed on Russia, even though the West is talking about cutting
off. Even though it'll be Ukraine and Poland cutting it off and stealing the gas for their own purposes and probably selling it. And you got this thing about the Kaliningrad exclave, right? This little piece of Russia that's separate from the rest. It's basically East Prussia, Königsberg.
Yeah, it's right out on the ocean. So hold on. We're out of time, Webster. Have you back next week. This is too important. But Webster will be back on the internet streams right now at InfoWars.com. He was with us in the first and second hour. So we'll be right back with Webster Tarpley in cyberspace at InfoWars.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Good job, Webster. Hey, good job, John. Love you to death. Good job.
And cutting it off and stealing the gas for their own purposes and probably selling it. And you got this thing about the Kaliningrad exclave, right? This little piece of Russia that's separate from the rest. It's basically East Prussia, Königsberg.
Yeah, it's right out on the ocean. Hold on. We're out of time, Webster. Have you back next week. This is too important. But Webster will be back on the internet streams right now at InfoWars.com. He was with us in the first and second hour. So we'll be right back with Webster Tarpley in cyberspace.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.